Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Congratulations, your morning just got a bit classier. A media legend, a ferocious linebacker, a clueless producer, and you.
Searching for a replacement window online? Visit windownation.com today.
So raise a glass and act accordingly. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's do it live on a Friday edition of the program. How you living, Threes?
Great, brother. I'm doing great, man. You know, it's Friday. I'm locked in.
It is,
but I'm locked in. You know, I'm locked in. I owe it to the people, to the listeners, to our great listeners, and the millions and millions of the Rocks fans around the world. I owe it to them to stay locked in for 3 hours, bro. 3 hours. I'm not going to think about the USB cord I have to change in the car because it's finicky and it might not play.
It's a pure relaxing vacation.
Yeah,
this
I don't need to think
Shell,
about
net jets.
Well, just wait till three things.
Into the Caribbean.
Net jets. I've never net jets in my life.
Into the Caribbean.
True story.
Nothing to see here,
flown
coach.
I have flown on.
You're not getting in a car with three little kids.
One.
Driving to
two,
Minnesota.
Three. Four. Four times I've flown on a private jet. Okay.
Yep.
None of them have I pitched in. Okay. So that just tells you maybe I'm selfish. No, three of them were gifts. Okay. So one was.
Okay, there you go.
One was. I'll go from first to last. Okay. So the first time I did it was, I was going over to the Big Ten championships to watch Ohio State play in the Big Ten title game in basketball, flew over to Indy with people in the athletic department, you know,
No,
this is post, obviously.
They would charter those guys. They take them on those planes to like Big Ten media days.
Right, but not to go watch the basketball hoops team win the Big Ten championship.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know if there was
hey, you're in the league. We saw what you resigned for. I want to go to the Big Ten championship game and discuss.
Maybe you'll throw a little money our way.
Yeah. Great time. Great flight. Great game. Shelly came with. She was still in school, actually. I think she was a senior studying for a test.
Oh, boy. So she was really big time at that point.
Of course.
Yeah.
The second time I did that... The second time that I flew private was I had it was with Jake Long, Sam Bradford. Jake had a charity event in Ann Arbor and we were all in the Rams together.
Right.
And it was it's called North Star Reach. So it's about providing camps for kids with special needs. Awesome, awesome organization.
Great.
And he's like, hey man, we're going to get a private jet to fly up from St. Louis up to Ann Arbor and then like right back the next day. Do you want to come? I know it's in Ann Arbor, blah, blah, blah. I promise if you come, I'll come to Columbus. Kind of all this deal, right?
Yep.
And I'm like, of course I'll come, dude. It's for a great cause. Like, what do we mean? And so I went with Sam, and it was a good time. But again, on Jake, number one overall money.
Yep. In the old days. It was all guaranteed.
Yeah, of course. The third time was, hey, we're playing in a golf thing up in Canton with people at Ohio State. And it's me, AJ, and Archie. Flew up, flew back, same day, fly up, play the round, say hello, do the thing afterwards, fly back. Nice little, 28-minute flight.
Where were you at? Were you at Glenmore, Brookside, and Canton? Do you remember the club?
Gosh, that's a good question. I could actually probably search it up because I got invited to do it again this year, but I'm out of town. I think it's this weekend, actually. Let me see. Anyway, where is it? Oh, well, maybe I should get the actual right text chain.
I would imagine it's Brookside and Glenmore, be my guess.
Doesn't say.
Yeah.
Just says in Canton. But anyway, it's today, actually. I would have been gone.
Well, they're not going to play.
True.
It's underwater.
True.
Whole state's underwater.
True, it is. And then the last time, when was the last time? Oh, Herb Street. I was playing with the Saints. I was about to be done.
Oh, that's right.
And I said, hey, can I follow you to game day and follow you in the booth, see how it's done? And,
with the tornadoes.
Oh, you're right. Five times. Yep. Good call.
I was going to say, I thought they would take you guys up with the tornadoes in Missouri.
NFLPA. That was during the lockout. So for some good PR, let's go down to Joplin, Missouri
And,
right. I remember you there. Yeah. And that was just unbelievable.
It was unreal.
We won't have that.
Unreal. To see the damage of an F5 is incredible. Oh, it's just devastating.
Yeah. I've seen hurricane. I've never seen tornado.
Yeah.
Damage. It's incredible. And we don't have that. We're not going to have that, but we are going to be poured on for 2 more days.
Yeah. Flash flood warning.
It's going to pour today and it's going to pour tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And
I can't wait to drive in it.
I think it's a little troubling. Oh, I did. Sunday and Monday I did. It was crazy. It was white knuckle the whole time. That's what you're going to have to look forward to. You're going to drive right into it.
That's right.
That won't be stressful.
The great thing is that, you know, we're going through Indy, which never has traffic. You know, 70 never has traffic.
No potholes.
Indy. No potholes.
Either.
Because there's smooth so sailing. Much construction up near, I guess, Fort Wayne and that whole route. That's the usual way you go to Chicago. Nope. Let's go through Indy, which is just great. Funnel more people
there's
on
no
the same
good way,
route.
Is there?
No.
There's no good way.
No, we're actually going to stop in Chi-Town, north of Chi-Town. Can't stop south of Chi-Town. Let's get through the city, which is a pain,
yeah.
But let's get through the city and shut her down at about Rockford, Illinois, and then have another 5.5. Really, after Chicago, though, it's like nothing, nothing, nothing. Oh, hey, Madison. Then nothing, 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 Minneapolis.
Yeah. Yeah, you got a lot on your plate there. I won't pretend that's going to be fun. This weather is absurd.
Mm.
It's absurd.
I'm sure it's really helping the outdoor project finish, too.
Well, I was just going to ask you. They're all here. The whole army's here today, and they've got apparently the plantings are in because there's 3 trucks of plantings. And I'm just thinking to myself, now they're good people. I know they'll stand by it, but you'd have to ask somebody who knows about this stuff, and I don't. Is it smart to plant amidst, you know, biblical floods?
I don't know. Did Noah?
Washed?
No, I think
he was kind of preoccupied. He's getting things on a boat,
true.
I mean, that's, you know, I don't know.
Honestly, most landscapers anyway, they give you like a 1-year warranty on.
Yeah, these guys will stand by. Yeah. I'm not worried about it. I'm just seeing like 3 truckloads of plantings, trees, all this stuff.
You won't notice
off,
it.
And I'm going.
It's good for your well. It's good for your well. You don't got to run the well and the water and all that. You know.
Yeah. But, oh no! Yeah, no. There's been no sprinklers all summer. We haven't had to worry about.
But
that.
I tell you, they'll look pretty. Don't worry about it. They'll look pretty until the spring, and then half of them will be dead. Why?
Well,
oh,
that's
water. These guys got too much water. Well, I wonder why. Whose fault is that? You planted them on the monsoon. Anyway.
Right. Yeah. That's how. That's what I'm fearful of now. Of how that's going to go. So we'll see. Open Championship going on there. I mean, it's stunningly beautiful over there. We're in the midst of cataclysmic rain, England. All sun.
Mm-hmm.
Short sleeves, having the time of their lives. Everyone's scoring 65. It's unbelievable the way that it looks over there. Absolutely stunning. So that's good to see that going on and some low scores being posted. The afternoon guys about ready to
what
go.
What our guy Bryson
there.
Do, man? All I saw is that he posted an
you
apology.
You saw what he did.
Did he say
well,
driver
he took
stinks?
Shots at the driver.
Oh, man.
Yeah, as opposed to maybe you stink. I've never heard a think about this relationship.
I can relate, though. I say this all the time. I mean,
you're not being paid by whoever gives you your clubs to hit your clubs handsomely, right? You're not being compensated. He's
but I'm sure are customly tweaked for
that
you.
That are customly tweaked for him. Mm-hmm. And the rep was like,
that's
hey, he is a perfectionist. Golf is an imperfect game, right?
Yeah.
Like we have worked tirelessly to. He's hitting a driver with a 5-degree loft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when you do that. There isn't any forgiveness. He's like, I need some forgiveness. Are you kidding? There is none.
Yeah.
You have to hit it perfect.
Yeah.
Five degrees
is pretty aggressive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty dang aggressive, to say the least.
Oh, my goodness.
Did you see this? Did you see this post from Baker Mayfield this morning?
I did not. Twitter, Instagram, what is it?
It was. I think probably both, knowing him all at the same time, but the reason I bring it up is the big 12 media days are going on,
mm-hmm.
have gone on the last couple of days. And one of the guys who's like the head of their officiating said that they're going to try and curb the taunting.
Oh,
because taunting apparently is, again, out
it
of
got
control.
Really confusing, right? Wasn't
really
it like horns up? If it's horns up to your team, then it's fine. But if you horns down to your team, it's fine. But if you horns down to the other team, then it's a penalty. Wait, you can get a good look at a T-bone by sticking your head up a
bull. Right. Who cares?
Who cares?
Is Texas so soft that are they concerned about people doing horns down?
Seems like
it. It is not.
That was a Herman thing. I didn't hear Matt complain about this.
No, I don't either. And I don't remember. Listen, I don't remember any. But that's not some sacred thing.
Yeah,
horns. That's not sacred. Like, give me a break. It's a cool thing you do. It's fine. Okay, great. It's nothing more than that.
Yeah.
This isn't sacred. It's not the word of the Lord. It's what, just a, it's a just, stinking.
What if they're just enthusiasts?
It's a longhorn.
Yeah.
With your hand, settle down.
What if they mean by it, they mean like a charging bull, you know? Mess with the bull or you get the horns.
Like, I just am curious, like, who's the driving force?
Yeah.
Who's going, yeah, we got to stop this. It's out of control.
It was Herman.
It's so
remember? He was the one complaining.
He did, yeah.
It was Herman. And I honestly don't ever remember a Texas coach complaining before that.
I don't either.
Because most Texas coaches would just say, or most coaches in general would just say, just win on the field. Win on the field. That's it. Take care of it on the field. Don't worry about, if you beat them, there's no celebrating to worry about.
No. No. Anyway. If you do horns down to a Texas player, it's going to be a penalty? What? What? Can we settle down? It's just stunning to me that big, bad Texas, you know, in a state where, you know, how Texas is as a state. I mean, it's the Republic of Texas.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's, you know, and they're worried. We're worried about horns down. Or we're so soft. We're worried about horns down.
That's where they are.
Being offensive. So Baker tweets out. Something to the effect of, I'm sorry you may be offended by what I'm about to do by this post. Please don't take offense. And it's him doing horns down in three straight photos. And then it's him with the golden hat from the Red River rivalry.
Oh, I love it.
Red River shootout on his head.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. Don't we have bigger things to do? Like, what would be, I don't even know what the equivalent of that would be. Like, Michigan doesn't have anything anymore. Like, is there any, somebody doing, like, an O? In a derogatory way, I don't even know what it would be.
Upside down.
Yeah, upside down. Right. Good luck with that.
So here's what's I don't know. I guess like if someone wanted to come stomp on the block O or something at the 50, but that's so different.
Baker did that.
Well, I know he did. And I was upset at him for it.
But the game was over.
And there's no penalty for it. Like you can be upset about it and not have it actually be a penalty. But again, I guess that's a little excessive. Okay, that'd be an excessive celebration if someone ran from like scoring a touchdown to the middle of the field during the game. Yes, that's excessive. That takes a long time. I mean, even if you're fast. But I don't know. The horns down. Yeah, it's just silly. It's been made such a big deal. It comes across as silly. But
yeah, it just comes across like they're soft to me. I mean, it just seems like why don't you have bigger problems here?
Soft. That's what my
I don't know that
LB coaches say all the time. Someone was soft on film, or if you got sensitive.
Yeah.
Be a soft or sensitive fine. Soft with two Fs.
See? There you go. Well, that's what they need to do at Texas, because it's ridiculous to me that they're concerned about those things.
It's incredible. It really is. You know, it's funny. I saw Zach Harrison tweet out, like someone tweeted, what's the best rivalry in college football? And Zach was like, it's called the game for a reason. And I was just like,
no, it's not.
I was close to responding and being like, I'm not sure it is, guys. Not right now. But I just
Parker came up to me last night, and we went to Buckeye Corner on Monday, and they gave like magnets with the schedule.
Yeah.
So he came. I came downstairs, and he goes, "Dad, what's this?" And it was the last one. He goes, "What's TTUN?" And I said, "Oh, that's the school up north, or that team up north." And he goes, "Well, isn't it easier just to write Michigan?"
Yes,
and
it is, son.
I go, "Yeah." Yeah, it is. It is easier to just write Michigan because they're not worthy of worrying about.
Yeah.
And so, yes, it is. Right. Just write Michigan. You don't have to cross out M's anymore. You know, like you don't cross out R's for Rutgers week. There's no reason to cross out M's for Michigan week.
There are so many people yelling at the radio right now that were.
They're children of the 90s. There's nobody in the last 20 years who's going.
I know. I'm just saying. To some people, this is just blasphemy. And they are ready upset. Okay. They are upset. But honestly, I used to, but meaning 10 years ago. Like when I was in the NFL and I'd see somebody wearing Michigan apparel, it would just stir something in me. You know, it was like seeing red, like a bull. And now when I see it, it's more of like just empathy. Like I feel sorry. I feel sorry. I'm embarrassed for you. I'm embarrassed for you. You know, that's what I should start saying. When I see somebody in Michigan stuff, I'm going to start being like, you a huge basketball fan? No, football. Ugh, ooh, gosh.
No one who is that would claim to be that.
You sure you want to wear that? There's a guy, there's a guy up in, up on the corner. I don't want to name the streets. I don't want to put him on blast. But as I drive to the barn, there's a corner where there's a stop sign and I'll see him mowing his front grass, just rocking like a Michigan shirt. And I'm just like, dude. Dude.
Yep.
I hope it was a free gift back in the 90s.
Or you attended.
Yeah. But even if you attend, like, you can put it on the shelf for a while.
Yeah.
Hang the diploma up. Put the diploma up. Yeah, if you're a hoops fan.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of people that I see walking around that I assume aren't huge hoops fans. They're good at hockey. Yeah. They're good at hockey. And they're good at gymnastics, I guess, Jeff, according to Jake Long. Jake likes to text me, hey, Michigan won in this. And I'm like, great. You and four other people know. Actually, right. No, nobody you cares. And the parents know. Yep. Congratulations.
Yep. Yep. So, yeah. TTUN. No. Just Michigan. They're fine. Nothing to see here. Speaking of the Big 12, one of the big proclamations made by the athletic director at Kansas State about what they were going to do with COVID protocols, I just settled down on all that. And we'll get into that a little bit later. Our 20 big questions. We hit number 5 this week. It concerns the NBA as the NBA finals are ongoing and the Cavaliers with an enormous summer, very similar to the summer that the Blue Jackets are under in terms of the right decisions have to be made. Chris Feeder will join at that in the 10 o'clock hour. Tim May at 11 o'clock, off and running on a Get Out of Town Friday edition. Bishman Laurinaitis right here in the Fan.
Buckeyes, Jackets, hard-hitting talk, and Rothman saving dogs. You know, just a typical day at a sports radio station. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Big in Montana, and also Minnesota, and everywhere else, too. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And brought to you by our great friends at Window Nation. If you're in need or search and replace windows, check them out at windownation.com. They'll take care of you the way that they take care of us at 866-90-NATION today. Space Jam opens today. I can tell you.
Are you juiced about it?
Yeah, I am. My kids are.
Yeah.
Like, Parker started asking. I mean, they've been asking all summer, like, when does it come out? When can we see it? Like, they haven't been to a movie theater in a long time. So they're excited to go to a movie theater. And they're pretty jacked up for it. They are. And that's just, I mean, I suppose if it was Frozen or something, your girls
popcorn,
would be jacked up.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah. What I love is that, so there's a Netflix show called Spirit. It's about a horse. Okay.
Yeah, I've seen that on the Netflix.
And so then all of a sudden you see all these ads for movies. There's a movie coming out in theaters, right? It is out. Oh, gosh, I know.
Chops. There we go. See, they're not going to be able to duplicate that. That's right.
That is elite. Yeah.
That's great.
That is elite.
That soundtrack is great.
It's so good. It's so good. And that's the thing. It's like, Shelly's jacked for it. Like, I enjoy Space Jam. I think Shelly enjoys Space Jam even more than me. But
I'm guessing Chops enjoys it more than both.
So what's funny is that, true, it was one of his most watched movies, which, by the way, I have to do a quick cross out on one and add another. Jurassic Park definitely should have been in there for me. Jurassic Park.
Have you seen that?
A ton. I'll still watch it.
Yeah.
The original Jurassic Park.
Oh, yeah. It's great.
Tons of times. Anyway. And I think the graphics still hold up for how old that movie. Anyway.
I agree.
So Spirit. It comes out right before we go to Turks. And so I'm like, oh, we got to go. You know, like when we get back or whatever. And what's unique is that when we get back, London's like, Nana said we watched it on Netflix. I'm like, okay. So who? She goes, but I don't think we did. And I'm like, who's probably more accurate? My mother-in-law, that they watched it on Netflix, which, by the way, they didn't release it on Netflix.
No, yeah.
You know, they have like three other like short movies, you know, like short films. Yeah. This is not the one
not
in
the
theaters.
Film.
Yeah,
that's
not
correct.
The film, you know. But she tried to convince London, my six-year-old, that this was the film. And London said, Nana said we watched it, but I swear we've watched it before. I'm like, okay, we'll discuss this later because I don't want to tell Nana she's wrong right in front of you. But yes, anyway. It's better.
I think my whole theory on that is
better to go in theaters because you get the popcorn, you get the the scenery.
It's fun.
It's great. Yes.
I think it's a really tough needle for LeBron James to thread here. He's willing to give it a shot, not because he is a better actor than Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not close.
Everyone's a better actor than Michael Jordan.
Right. Correct. But I mean,
don't
like,
say that, dude.
Well, I don't know.
Don't say
Ray
that.
Allen
now Michael's
going
to go do 14 movies to try to prove us wrong because he's so
And I
thorough.
Took that personally.
Yeah. I took it personally.
I was in Columbus and
I heard these three morons.
Yeah. And I took that personally.
I took it personally. So now I'm going to go make a couple more movies. Yep.
So, Ray Allen was not great in He Got Game either. Like, that's tough. That's a tough watch. But LeBron can act. Like, he's good in commercials.
Yeah,
he's good
does it nightly with
live.
The flops.
Jeez, that seems just a below the belt shot. What are you doing? A show in Cleveland all of a sudden?
Oh, it's not below the belt.
The But I think that the problem, this is, it's just going to be tough because that movie is so revered.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be difficult to try to match that.
Yeah.
But I guess what you're hoping for is that the problem is that that movie is almost like my kids. There's no question they've watched that more than any other movie.
Yeah.
It's not even close. They've watched Space Jam more than any other movie. So that's what he's living up to in an Opus A, and they're legitimately excited for it. So I'm jacked for him to get that, to be able to see it. Hopefully, there's talk they could see it today. I don't see it too loud.
Oh.
There's just some talk that they could see.
That's good. We'll see. That's good.
Yeah, Beamsy's going to be pretty excited about that.
Yeah.
So,
that'll be fun.
We'll see. Have you seen any of the reviews, Chops, for it?
I've not seen any of the reviews, but a Chops review is loading. I put out a poll yesterday. Which movie should I do? Black Widow, The Tomorrow War, or Space Jam 2, or all three? All three won. So next week, three Chops reviews coming.
Who voted for that? J-Lo?
I don't know. 50 three. People who follow me.
That's incredible. I guess we'll shoehorn those into the show next week.
Gosh, incredible.
So while we're going to theaters in Ohio, and I guess they're still doing it in Los Angeles as well, but they are going back to some mask mandates, and this is hitting the sports world as well. It's nothing that we necessarily enjoy talking about, but it's the reality of where we are, and this could impact the Olympics. It's impacting Major League Baseball tonight, and there could be more. So we'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Never short on opinions, always short on class. Common Man and T-Bone.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. It's Bishop and Laurinaitis's What's Up.
What's up, man?
So for you.
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Honda dealers.
All right, here's what's up on a Friday. So this is just what's going on, kids. You got Team USA Australia basketball is postponed. Bradley Beal's out of the Olympics. You mentioned yesterday with COVID protocols. You mentioned yesterday the Olympics will be without fans.
Mm-hmm.
So we're back. That's what's going on in Japan.
I'm almost to the point where I'll believe it when they show up and do the opening ceremony.
When they actually show up?
Yep.
Yeah. Well, this is not a fun talk, but no. That's kind of the talk that I think that.
And that's not. And I'm not saying that's what I think should have. I'm just saying I'm at the point now.
Yes.
What you have yesterday is L.A. County saying that vaccinated or not, you have to wear a mask inside. And so you click on it, and then you see actual doctors from L.A. saying, if you're vaccinated, this is an extreme measure. If you're vaccinated, you shouldn't have to wear one. Basically saying, but the L.A. Department of Health said, the heck with it. Basically, we don't trust the buddy system, and it's too complicated to have you carrying a vaccine card. Yes.
It's trust.
So,
we're not going to look for your cards. We're not going to have you show proof of vax.
Yes.
So because so many of you aren't getting it done, and this is in the eyes of them, this isn't me speaking, this is just the way that they're viewing it.
Right.
That because so many of you aren't getting it done,
right.
This is where we're at.
Yes.
So that's what's happening there. You've got six New York Yankees testing positive, so their game with the Red Sox is postponed.
Yeah.
What I think is fascinating about all of this is all of this, and I tried to stay away from, and maybe it's a bad job out of me, because I have fatigue from this. I'm sure a lot of you do too. I mean, it's been a long time. We're 70 weeks of being altered, mm-hmm. you know, with this. And so there's a natural fatigue to it, and that's probably, maybe that's irresponsible, I don't know, but that's, I have it. So I try to avoid this stuff. But what I don't know is, you know, this stuff all cropping up, is this all this Delta variant? How is this? Is it because we've opened up and now it's being spread again? And then the thing that I said this back in football or in the spring, if you're going to play, I think you're going to, in regard to the NFL.
Yeah.
You're going to play with guys who are guys are going to play with positive testing.
So that's where I'm at. So
because you saw Rich Eisen.
Yes, you saw Rich Eisen.
There's other people,
yes.
And then they test positive and they actually have symptoms.
Yes.
So it's like new flu, new disease.
Yeah.
Pandemic, new vaccines. So everything, it's all new. So there, it's not like you can't hold it. I don't anyway. I don't hold anything that's going on now as accountable as I do like the vaccine for the chicken pox.
Right. There is
MMR or whatever. I mean, those have been developed for years.
Yeah.
Like this, we're figuring it out as we go, and there's going to be setbacks. But to me, like
it's quite honestly still in the research phase. Like they're still researching and analyzing the effects of everything, the actual disease, the vaccine. Like you have no long-term studies because we haven't been long-term. It's real time. So I'm with you there. So here's where I'm at. The Rich Eisen thing's interesting, and I've seen now like three or four, maybe even five celebrities post that they're double vaxxed and they still have symptoms. And I'm sensitive to the fact that, like, yes, you're not supposed to. Supposedly it's a very rare thing to still get symptoms, and the claim is, well, the symptoms would have been worse had you not been vaccinated. My response is, how do we know for sure? I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to play doctor on the air. So you have all these questions about it, right? And the problem is with the new virus, the information's constantly changing, and I think a lot of people take that as mistrust, right? And one common thing I see from a lot of people is, and they're different, but you know, there's already mistrust, right? Because there's people that have posted things, well, there used to be, I'm not going down this road. I'm not even going to say it.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's not going to do anyone any good. So
no.
The thing where it relates to sports is, I'm hopeful, but this caught my eye 2 days ago. Dennis Dodd's tweet saying, seeing hints of COVID guardrails being put on the season scares me. Get vaccinated if you want to see college football this season. And you're like, well, Dennis Dodd's he's not just some random.
He's not inflammatory.
Right. He's not inflammatory. He's sensing that. And so then you see this in LA County and you're saying to yourself, are we sure the Pac-12 and Oregon's going to, like, there's a whole lot of things that pop. Like I assume the South is going to go forward. The South, you know what I mean? And I think that obviously we've learned a lot of lessons. It still goes back to treatment for me, Bo, because COVID is not disappearing.
No.
It's not going away. Just like the flu has a new strain every winter, the flu virus mutates, and it's always some kind of new flu, right, that we try to arm ourselves against. COVID's going to be around. It's not going away. So I really have two questions. And maybe it is too soon to have this, the attitude of it. But you see Rich Eisen. My whole point of bringing up Rich is, so if you're Baker Mayfield and you're double vaxxed and you have mild symptoms, right? Maybe you feel a little chillish one night, but you wake up and you're like, you know what? I'm not even going to mention anything. I'm double vaxxed. I'm fine. And you're going to go play. Like, if you don't tell anyone on the team, you're playing with COVID. Just like you would play with the flu, which I have played with.
Of course you would.
And you're going to go play because guess what? It's a playoff game and I feel fine today, but I was a little chilled yesterday, but I'm over it now. You know, I'm good. I wasn't throwing up or anything. It was just a little chill. Kind of felt like a cold. You know, like I had multiple friends who've had it said, I had really, bad cold symptoms. Didn't really have a cough, but I had a cold and some people are obviously way worse. Everyone's different. Everyone's body is different. But at what point do we, it still comes down to treatment because we've found out how to somewhat treat symptoms of the flu. Right? So we have to get to the point of treating these things because it's not going away.
We've come a long way.
And we have. And newsflash, not everyone's going to get the vaccine, ever. So the dream of everyone getting vaccinated, that's just not happening. Some people it's just not going to happen. Obviously, you want more than that, and you want herd immunity, all these things, but the treatment of it. And so I'm wondering, really, in the eyes of sports, when do we get to a point where I guess the testing is done, and I just don't think we're there yet with obviously the treatment of it. But
what I don't know too, and this is when I saw this six Yankees test positive, I thought they're still testing,
right? Yeah,
man, yeah. I didn't know that they were still testing.
I didn't know that either. Yeah.
Like if the NFL, we remember this from the NFLPA's agreement on when they were incentivizing everyone to get vaxxed. Like they're not testing you daily if you've been vaccinated,
right? Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how do they know? How do they know? So then they postpone this game. So are we going to go back to that where we're testing even people who are vaccinated?
Right.
And is that where we're at? And so I guess
that's going to go both ways, right? That's going to lead some people, like Rich Eisen's post, and that's not against Rich. I mean, I respect the post. You know what I mean? I know what he's trying to encourage people to get vaccinated and then still be careful, right? And I'm not going to talk poorly about anybody for their decisions. Like everyone has an open opinion of freedom I'm not going down that path, right? We all have our own opinions on everything, but you can still respect other people. And I think that's where it seems like where we are, just like with every topic, right? If you haven't gotten vaccinated, people who have vaxxed look at you like you're a moron and an idiot and don't trust science. Well, no, that's not it. And the people who aren't vaccinated look at people who are as if they just, our sheep lost without a shepherd and just following it's not that way, guys. Just be nice to each other. Everyone has but
the big takeaway for me here from a sports perspective is let's learn from a year ago with our bold proclamations.
Right. We don't know. We just don't know.
Because you don't know. And so to say And I understand that it's the job of us in the media when we get somebody like Gene Smith on, or you talk to Gene, and I saw Dom talk to Gene last week and asked him, you know, do you expect full crowds? Yeah, we expect full crowds. Oh, that's he's Dom's got to ask that question. Gene's got to give that answer.
Mm-hmm.
But there's many a slip betwixt a cup and a lip, and we're a long way from that. And so
that's the first time I've heard that phrase, by the way.
Yeah, you're welcome. So there's a long way to go.
Yeah.
So when you think about the things that are, I know that the NFL's, let's go back to a year ago. You and I had the same conversation. The NFL is going to deliver a television product.
Yeah, they are.
They will stop at nothing to deliver a television product.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, they plan to have full stadiums.
Yeah.
That could change. But what won't change is they are going to play 17-week games over 18 weeks. They're going to play playoff games on schedule. Folks, a reminder, the Cleveland Browns played a playoff game without their head coach.
Yeah.
With an offensive lineman that Baker Mayfield had never met.
Yeah.
They played a regular season game without any receivers Baker had thrown to in a regular season game.
Yeah.
Why? Because there was a television product that needed to be delivered.
Yeah.
And so we're in a lot better place with treatment. We know more, all of those things. But just, I feel like this is a conversation. I feel like I'm just having this to Kevin Warren only. Like if you were listening. it's just us to you, Kev. No bold statements.
Yeah.
Take this, you know, week to week, pal. Take it easy.
I mean, in a real practical example, I sent you the itinerary that was sent to me yesterday from Fox Sports. Mm-hmm. Literally sent yesterday morning, mid-afternoon.
This is for your broadcaster.
Yes, for they have
boot camp.
It's a Fox Sports seminar. Usually it's like a couple days of breakouts. There's a cocktail reception. It's at a beautiful resort.
Beautiful resort
south of LA. It really should take you 20 minutes, takes you an hour and a half, you know, one of those things. And so it's a fun time. It's a long flight for like 24 hours of, not even 24 hours of stuff, but anyway. And they send that mid-afternoon. And before I can even respond with like, hey, what are my flight options? LA County releases that. And so now my thing is like, I wonder if they're going to hold it because it's in LA County. I wonder if they're going to hold it anymore. Like, who knows?
Yeah, it's a great question.
I mean, that's in the span of 4 hours. They finally decide, yeah, we're going to do this again. Oh, LA County says, no, actually, we're going to do all masks inside. And so now you're like, well, I wonder if they're even going to do it now.
Right.
And so it's like everything is continually changing.
It's evolving.
And that's why I say it comes down to treatment, Bo, because we're not going to live in a world going forward to where the coronavirus 19 isn't around.
No.
Our hope is that when you contract it in the future, that we're like, hey, you know what? We have a better way of treating this.
Yep.
Here's a way of treatment. Take it easy for a couple days, for 10 days or whatever, 7 days, whenever, and then come back, you know, come back.
Yes.
And that's why I say similar to how we treat the flu, although I'm understanding that it's not the flu. The flu is the closest thing we have to where it's going to be a seasonal thing to where we've tried to eradicate the flu and it hasn't worked. The flu is around. And I know they're different, but it's just, so my point is, when do we get to the point of, I guess, that stage? And where it's not like testing every single day, still, vaxxed or not vaxxed.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
You made a great point with Baker.
Like, that's all but my pay grade. That's all but
my
pay grade.
But what I'm, as it pertains to sports, that's what this is about right now, is how do you go forward? What does that look like? And a warning sign of just, don't be bold.
Yes. Don't be bold.
The Big Ten looked foolish.
Yes.
Don't make bold statements. Right?
Patience and the accumulation of information.
Settle down.
Yep.
Yes. Understand that this is going to change.
Yeah.
I think we all know that this stuff's going to change. I mean, just wait till November.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff will change. It's going to change. So don't look foolish.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't look foolish because it is going to change. A happy birthday to a guy who made a lot of people look foolish. And I'm wondering if he's even appreciated by the kids. We'll get to that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Radio. It opens your mind to stimulating conversation and live sports. And best of all, it still costs $0. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination. Pushing the limit of how many times you can say the word thing in one show.
That's the next thing.
That is the next thing.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
I saw the Lions tweet this out today. Happy birthday to Barry Sanders. And I'm wondering how old you have. Like, Chops, do you have any point of reference for him?
Like, actually playing? No.
Well, I know not actually playing. You weren't even alive. But do you have? Is
have you
he
watched
somebody
highlights?
Who ever even comes up?
Yeah, Barry Sanders is somebody that's definitely in like that discussion of best running backs of all time.
Okay, so you've done the due diligence,
but he's in like the he's in probably yeah more of like the. Like emeritus discussion with the Walter Paytons and like Eric Dickersons of the world.
So when you have that conversation, who's the one, like when you have best running back of all time conversation, who would be your
mine's Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson. I wondered if it would be. Yeah. It's funny because he would, I don't think of Adrian Peterson that way, and I probably should.
Yeah, I do.
But it's probably skewed by my age.
But I'm a little younger, too. So I remember Adrian was drafted when I was in high school. So I still was following as a fan with fan glasses. It's different when fan glasses versus basically this is our job to cover teams' glasses and once you're in it. But Barry Sanders is one of those guys who I will, if there's a highlight reel or like a piece on him, like on a Fox Sports or CBS, I'm dropping everything and watching because it is still like playing the game. It is still crazy what he was able to do with the rock in his hand.
There was, yeah, I think you said that right. I think he's in a similar category with like Randy.
I think people don't know what he did in college.
And even like Deion Sanders. Oh, yeah, nobody knows. Yeah, where you just see it, you go, geez, what is that? He's on a different level than everybody else.
Yeah.
No, he ran for like 2,600 yards at Oklahoma State.
Yes.
He was in the same backfield with Thurman Thomas, so really didn't even get to explode until his junior year.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he played on some... there's a lot of Stafford to him. I'm not saying Stafford's Barry Sanders, but I'm saying played on a lot of bad Lions teams.
Yeah.
Mm. And it's just absolutely the stop-start ability of it. I wanted to see what he... So he's six-time All-Pro and played at a time with... You know, obviously Emmitt Smith was with the Cowboys. You know, and I think some of... Those guys, I think Emmitt is just so more omnipresent than Barry. Barry just stopped playing.
Yeah.
Like he was still in his prime and he stopped playing.
Yeah.
His junior year at Oklahoma when he won the Heisman, he ran for 26-28, 7.6 a carry and 37 touchdowns.
Filthy.
Like that won't be touched.
No. Filthy.
That's not going to be touched.
Gosh.
26-28.
Yeah. Gosh.
Yeah, and then just quietly kind of just stopped playing, and that was it.
Mm.
It's interesting what's happened with it, because Calvin Johnson did that.
Yep. Detroit just does that to you. You know, when you're in Detroit, Michigan,
it must
I guess,
suck just... the life out of you. Like, playing for the Lions in Detroit must just take it out of you.
Good real question. How many Matthew you're Stafford, 14, how many times did you think about just hanging up year. Because you were in Detroit? Plenty.
Here.
And then L.A.
oh,
saved me.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
Which,
Barry
by the
Quinn
way,
at age 30,
which, by the
real
way.
Quick, real quick
go
on
ahead.
This.
Go
quick.
Ahead.
I'm going to give you the last 3 years for Barry Sanders in the NFL. 15-53, 5 yards a carry. 20-53, 6 yards a carry. 14-91, 4.3 yards a carry. That's his last 3 years.
Mm.
He was only All-Pro one of those 3 years, the 2,000-yard
And by the way, against an eight-man box every single time.
Every time, because they couldn't.
It's like Jonathan Taylor in college, too. Like, no one's playing Detroit thinking, hey, we better be in cover, too.
Right.
Who's their quarterback? Mitchell?
Probably Scott Mitchell at that
Mitchell,
time. They had a little Eric
Herman
Kramer,
Moore.
A little Rodney Pete.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, they had a team. They got to the NFC Championship game in the early 90s once.
Yeah.
With the run and shoot with Wayne Fonts and all that. But,
I remember
but that was about it. I mean, just it's but it's just an incredible.
Yeah.
He played. He stopped at age 30 with 15-269 on the all-time rushing. It's still good for fourth. Frank Gore passed him last year with exactly 16,000 yards. Emmitt at 18-35. He's untouchable. In terms of active, Adrian Peterson is fifth, 14-820. And then LeSean McCoy, 11,000, is 22nd on the list. But you'll never see running backs do this ever again.
No.
Play for that many years and have that type of durability. Like, it just isn't a position.
Well, plus, just look at the way the game's going.
Right.
No one's running the ball that much.
No.
You're not running the ball to set up play action pass.
No. No. No.
Everyone runs to keep you honest.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, coming up next, we continue with our 20 big questions. We are on the NBA today, plus some pretty remarkable news about Tom Brady as well. We will get to that off the top of the next hour. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here in the Fan.
Top shelf conversation from top shelf gentlemen.
That's a pretty emphatic situation.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Second hour here. We'll get to the Cavaliers question in a second. Chris Feeder will join in about 20 minutes. You heard the report there from Reese, and we've seen the story. How does that come out that Tom Brady played a whole year with a torn MCL?
He told somebody.
Okay, agreed.
And somebody told the media.
Agreed.
I don't know whether he wanted it to be out or not. I'm sure he doesn't really care.
Should that have not been on an injury report?
Oh, of course it should have been. Yeah, technically. But...
Right?
But...
Like, that seems like a significant thing in that respect.
Yes.
Not that he did it.
Right.
People play with injuries all the time.
So here's my question. Tom has his own doctor, basically. His own training guru. Did he even disclose it to the team? Or did he just go in and get treatment with the team and just say, my knee's sore? Hey, you want to take a look at it? No. Maybe he did it on his own. I don't know. That's how they can get around it. They can get around it that he can just say, I never disclosed it to the team. That's why it wasn't on injury report. That's how you get around the team getting fined, right?
Well, that's the way they'll have. Well, see, that's why we're lucky to have you, because you've navigated those waters.
I had guys do that where they're like, if they get an image, they go get it somewhere else. Some guys used to do it out of paranoia, where they just didn't trust that the actual team doc was going to read the report accurately. I'm like, the guy doesn't actually read it. Like, he can see the image, but it's actually read by the technician, and it's in writing right there. Like, it's not a conspiracy that they want you to play hurt anyway. But there'd be some, trust me, there's some, the paranoia in the player team doc relationship is unbelievable in the National Football League.
Well,
so there are a lot of guys
you had that,
and you can get second opinions.
You were in the league.
Yeah, you can get second opinions. I mean, that's wide open, and a lot of guys do, and you should. You should. But I'm saying just in fact,
you were in the league when there was that was going on in Cleveland.
Oh yeah.
Why am I blanking on the? I mean, LaCharles got hit with it.
Yep.
Joe Giravicius got the staph infection.
Oh, yeah.
In Cleveland.
Yep.
I mean, that ended LaCharles Bentley's career.
Yep.
And contributed to the end of his career, and other guys had it up there, too.
Yep.
Like, they had a real problem.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, I can understand how, you know, there would be where trust could be an issue.
Right.
On that front. I get it. I mean, I think that's,
yeah,
that's valid. I think it's pretty remarkable. I think it's remarkable it got out. I think you have exactly how it got out. I don't know that I agree with your other point as well, that I don't know that Tom wanted it out.
Right.
Because it puts his employer in a tough spot.
Yeah.
Because that needs to be disclosed.
Yeah.
You know, now you can't hit quarterbacks low anyway. There's a million ways around it. But you played for Greg Williams.
You can't hit. Yeah.
Quarterbacks playing with a torn MCL. When he gets out of the pocket. I mean, I'm not putting words in Greg's mouth, I think that would apply to most defensive coordinators. If he's gonna go, hit him.
I'll put it this way: You're not trying to hurt. This is where the gray area gets. You're not ever as a player trying to hurt somebody. I'll say that. I can't speak for everybody. I did play with players who had a mindset of the heck with that. Knock them out of the game if you can. This is a man's game. You know, whatever. Okay, guys, whatever. You're trying to hit him as hard as you can. Which, of course, if you're doing that, you're saying, what do you mean you're not trying to hurt him? You're trying to hit him as hard as you can. Well, yeah. The whole thing, usually, of football is challenge the guy's toughness. So, like, one of the ways of Greg's old school tackle book before he had to revise the language was kill the head. And everyone's like, oh, my gosh. The idea was he wanted every single ball carrier to be facing his own goal line when he got up. So hit the player. Yep. If you had to hip toss him and throw him back, twist his body. He never wanted the running back falling forward because he wanted to see how tough the guy was to fall. You know what I mean? Now, this is all before he even got to the Rams, but you could read through it all in his playbook before, and then he had to kind of change it. It became turn the head. And so the idea is challenge the toughness. So if a guy has a sore rib and you know that, well, guess what, guys? Do we want to see how tough he is? Is he a little subconscious about that sore rib or that broken rib? Instead of hitting him low or trying to dislodge the ball, try to put your helmet or your shoulder pad on the rib. See how tough he is.
Right.
Guess what? If wide receiver number one isn't playing, it helps us win the game. If it's wide receiver 2, 3, 4, everyone gets bumped up. And so, yeah, if you knew that Tom had a torn MCL, would some D coordinators and players say, hey, if you ever get a chance, which you don't because he gets rid of the ball fast, but if he is scrambling,
right,
instead of tackling him high around the waist, well, try to knife arrows through snow, try to hit him in the quad, see if he's a little gun shy. Put it in his mind, like, oh, gosh, that one hurt. I don't know if I want to keep doing that. It's the little nuances within the game, and it still goes on, even with the changed rules. It's such a paradigm. I mean, I guess we've been trained. This is part of Martellus Bennett's whole rant the one time on Twitter that I said. We've all been trained since, like, fourth grade that's completely normal, you know, or whenever you start playing football, of, like, I'm trying to hit you as hard as I physically can. I'm not trying to hurt you. Well, of course, the reaction of you hitting someone that hard is going to hurt. It's a collision.
It's hurt.
But you've been warped that sport. You're not trying to. Anyway.
Yeah, brainwashing, man. Clean hit still hurts.
Of course it does.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. I think that's pretty interesting, and I'm curious to see where it goes from here, if it goes anywhere from here on that side of things.
Yeah.
So this yesterday, and this gets into our 20 big questions, and how important this summer is to the Cleveland Cavaliers. So we did this conversation with the Blue Jackets and with Porty, and we talked, I think it was on Wednesday, and we talked about what they've got to get done. Now, they are behind in their, they're behind where the Cavaliers are. The Cavaliers, LeBron James has been gone for a couple seasons, three seasons. So they have had 3 years worth of drafts to try to build into something in a sport that I think it's very difficult to do it in. And I think when you look back, you'll look back and go, we were very lucky as Ohioans who like watching professional basketball that James was born in Akron, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Because if he wasn't, you wouldn't have gotten him for as long as you did.
Right.
He was, he is, delivered a championship, and you're very lucky to be able to have that. This, I think, speaks to kind of the awkwardness that they have as a franchise. So the Milwaukee Bucks yesterday, about 16 hours ago, tweeted out, inside, it's a video of the Giannis block. It says, inside the greatest block in NBA Finals history. So, about 20 minutes ago, the Cavaliers, from their official account, tweeted out LeBron looking up at the scoreboard like, what? Okay? So it's a great tweet.
Yes.
It's a great tweet.
Yes.
Right? It's a great tweet.
Yep.
But then the reaction to the tweet are, they're incredible, like, everything from LeBron ain't in Cleveland no more, little bro, to whoever runs this account deserves a raise. All of these things. He was carried. He wasn't even that great. Carried by Kyrie, blah, blah, blah. That, by the way, he averaged like a triple-double, like 40, 10, and 11. It's just ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it speaks to the incredibly complicated spot that that organization is in.
Yeah.
In that you had one of the greatest players of all time. He delivered a championship, and you can't even totally celebrate him because people in your market are kind of split on how they feel about him, even though he came back and delivered a championship.
Right.
Tears saying, Cleveland, this is for you. And there's still people who can't stand. I mean, it's the people who still, oh, he left us in a lurch. Did he have to play his entire career there?
Right.
Like, is that what it would have taken? Like, he can never leave. He had to stay forever. Like, that's the way that it goes. Like, played the majority of his career there. He delivered a championship.
He could have stayed in Miami forever. He could have just went from Miami to L.A.
Could have never came back. He could have stayed. Of course he could have stayed in Miami.
If we had a poll, if we had a lie detector test, okay, and we lined everybody up from that area, that's a Cavaliers fan even, and you said, if you love what you do, or just imagine a job to where you would absolutely, it wouldn't be a job. It would just be pure joy to go to work, right?
Sure.
And I'm going to give you a check for $70 million over 7 years, and I'm going to give you a map. Where would you go? There's 30 cities. Maybe there's 30 cities here. Which one would you pick to make the same money anywhere? Right. How many would honestly pick Cleveland, Ohio? And I want the people to be honest with themselves.
Well, no, they, of course
not. It's not a bash on Cleveland. I'm saying this guy came home to do this for his hometown because he does love his hometown. Look at the Promise School. The stuff that he does back there, it's because he loves it. But he also wanted opportunities to go to L.A. Why? For future generational wealth to be able to see, you know what, can I do this in acting? Can I build some relationships, build my brand? Because while I'm still playing in this league, this is the hottest my name's going to be. I need to capitalize on these relationships now. Absolutely, not when I'm done.
because if I go out to LA after I'm playing, sure, I'll have a couple years. But this train keeps moving because guess what? Then it'll be Giannis. Then it'll be AD. And it's everybody else. So you have to capitalize on those things while playing.
Look what he has done from a production standpoint. The amount of shows his name is attached to.
Yes.
Let alone Space Jam and the show on HBO and all that stuff. But everything else that he does that he's gotten done because he's a Laker.
Yep.
That's a big part of it.
Yep.
The only thing that people in Hollywood look up to is athletes. The ones they look up to most are ones who play for the Lakers.
Yeah.
He knew all of that. Like, this was, that's the way that it went. And the fact that he came back was, now, it helped him also. One thing I do think you have to acknowledge is he benefited as well. Because it, from the eyes of most, it took away the only kind of stain was the way he left Cleveland.
Yeah.
So going back there takes that off the resume.
I totally agree that, listen.
But he had to win it. And if he didn't win it, none of it works.
Right.
So it's a big gamble.
It is. It is. And I'm sure.
Like, he couldn't have gone there, played 4 years, and not win it threes.
I know. I know. And the year before, if he has anyone else healthy with him, he could have won it. There's a lot of what ifs. I agree. As a LeBron follower, I'm not even going to say like giant fan, but just because I'm not an LeBron apologist for greatest ever or whatever. I enjoy watching guys who are that elite at their job play any sport. And so we can all agree that the way he handled leaving to Miami was awful. And he would acknowledge that it was a big mistake, immature, whatever. You're right. Whatever. Move on. It was bad. But it's so unique. Like he decided to drop everything, a lifestyle, move his family back up to Northeast Ohio, carry those teams, give you that championship, and then still realizing, like, we're up against the Warriors. I'm out. I'm going to LA for multiple reasons. Maybe his wife wanted to be out there. Like, we talked about this at length when it happened.
Oh, it's kids too.
His kids wanted to be out there.
Kids,
yes.
Yeah. In where everyone is pulling at you.
Yes.
Whereas in
Newsflash, LA, Hayden asked me every day, at least once a day, can we move to Arizona? No joke. She asked me that every day. Because all in her mind, she sees the sunshine and the pool. Like,
sure.
You know, so imagine their kids thinking, like, oh, we can go be out in LA and live this lifestyle and be the son of you, Dad.
Even the pressure of being LeBron James's son.
Exactly. Yes. Yes.
Like, there's a lot going on there.
Yes.
Like, a lot of people thought they were going to go to St. Vincent, St. Mary. They were not.
Right.
That's not where they were looking. So, I mean, that's a complicated spot up there.
Absolutely. Because you want your son to have his own identity. No matter how, it's going to be so impossible for a son to have his own identity. But you want to do the best you possibly can. So how can I take him? I'm not going to make him follow my foot. How can I take him outside of that?
Right.
Yeah.
So as it pertains to the Cavaliers, this is the complicated spot they're in, is they have actually drafted pretty well considering where they've drafted. Right.
Yeah.
And there is talk that Colin Sexton is on the board. They've got what it appears to me that they've done is they have not really drafted for need. They've just drafted the guy that they thought was best.
Yeah.
So it left them with two guards who are kind of the same in Sexton and Garland. Garland's more of a creator. Sexton's more of a shooter. I don't know that Sexton gets the credit for being as good as he's been up there because of the losing.
Right.
But this is a monster summer because they're picking third in a draft that has three great players. So they theoretically could get a really good player in the top three. It could be Jalen Suggs. Problem is, Jalen Suggs is a point guard. And they got two of them already.
Yeah.
So if you're going to take him, do you have to move people off? These are the conversations. The decisions made this summer for them will go a long way in determining where they are. This can happen quickly if you hit on this. Look at Atlanta.
Yeah.
Look at Phoenix with Booker and Ayton. If you hit on it, you can do it pretty quickly in the NBA. But you got to hit. You're promised nothing. It doesn't mean you're going to win championships or anything. But if you want to be relevant,
right,
you got to hit when you're picking third overall.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to maximize that.
Yeah.
So that's where they're at. Chris Fedor covers them. He's the best at it. He'll join us on it coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here in The Fan.
Feel unappreciated? Things not working out the way you imagined?
Bad news.
Sometimes life sucks.
Good news. We don't.
The Fan. Ohio sports destination.
Threes and Uncle Bo. If you know, you know.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Yeah, we had this conversation earlier in the week in regard to the Blue Jackets, who are just going to start from scratch build that they're going to undertake. And so as we tackle 20 big questions for the next calendar year, we land in the NBA and on the Cavs. When we do that, we talk to our good buddy Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com. He is the best. He joins on the Brian Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Chris, so they have been in this post-LeBron world for a little while now. They have accumulated some assets. They've made some picks. They have what I think is the most critical summer that they've had since, boy, gosh knows when. And it's critical they get this right. And I'm sure they know that. What are they open to doing? How bold are they willing to be? And do you trust the plan to be able to execute it?
I do trust the plan. I've trusted the plan for the very beginning, guys, because the thing that they needed to do throughout the course of this plan was hit on the draft picks. And I think you can say that they've done that at this point in time. There are obviously questions about whether Darius Garland and Colin Sexton can play together. But if you were to do a redraft of 2018, 2019, you're not going to find too many guys that you would have instead of Colin Sexton and Darius Garland. And then Isaac Okoro, I still believe in. I think he's going to make tremendous strides in year two. So because they've gotten that right, the meat and potatoes of how they're trying to build this thing, I do trust the plan. I think they're going to be aggressive this offseason, guys. I think they recognize that they do need some win-now pieces, some more veteran players that can impact winning in a way that young guys really can't at this stage of their career. So I think they're going to be aggressive. I think they're going to look for opportunities to improve. But I've been saying it for the last couple of days. They're not going to act out of desperation, because if plan B happens to be go into this upcoming season with the core four still intact of Jared Allen, Colin Sexton, Darius Garland, Isaac Okoro, and hope for internal growth from some of those guys, and then just supplement them with some veterans in free agency using the mid-level exception, then I think they'll be okay with doing that. Plan A, obviously, is to make a bigger trade, somebody that can impact this team in a way that the young guys haven't been able to.
Chris, what do they do with the Kevin Love problem, as I'll describe it? Because obviously you see some of the body language last year, not playing, injured, legitimately injured, and then all of a sudden now he's on the Olympics, and while there he's talking about, you know what, I'm not going to my 14th season. I'm probably not a number one guy anymore. I'm not going to play 35 night. Okay, well, you're still getting paid like a number one guy for the next few years. So it's kind of like this mindset in his brain where he's like, I don't need to be that guy anymore. I want to be more of like a role player. But yet the contract doesn't match. So it makes it almost impossible with that quote to move him for anything good. Just where are they at with Kevin Love?
Yeah, James, it's really, really complicated. And I think the way that I've written it since the season ended was they need to try and find the best of all bad options. And none of the options that they could explore when it comes to Kevin are good. Trade is not a great option because other teams want the Cavs to attach either a draft pick or a young player as a sweetener, because teams feel like taking Kevin Love from the Cavs is doing the Cavs a favor. He's on the wrong side of 30 years old, injury-prone, bloated contract, and I have talked to a lot of people that are in Las Vegas with Team USA for their training camp as they get ready for the Olympics, and the word that I keep hearing is done. Like, Kevin Love is done physically as the kind of player that you would want him to be, where he can have an impact. So that's going to make it hard for the Cavs to trade him. There's no doubt about that. A buyout isn't a great option from the Cavs' perspective, because they'll still have a huge amount of salary on the books working against them. And if they buy him out, they can't use his money in a potential trade if they want to package something with Kevin Love to move him. Like, if they wanted to put Colin Sexton in there, or Torian Prince, or somebody to stack up all these salaries to try and make this blockbuster trade, they wouldn't be able to use Kevin's salary. And a waive and stretch is the other option, which isn't a great option either, because the Cavs would have $12 million sitting on their salary books for the next 5 years, because he has $60 million remaining on his contract. So I don't know what they're going to do with Kevin. I don't think they know what they're going to do with Kevin, because none of the options in front of them when it comes to moving on from him are good. And because of that, I think there's a real possibility, as crazy as it sounds, that they start this upcoming season with Kevin on the roster, just in a much, much smaller role than he has grown accustomed to and fans have grown accustomed to seeing him in.
Yeah, and while that has, you know, that has immediate effect, the bigger question, and you dropped the name Colin Sexton, and that's the big one, right?
Yep.
Because we got to decide what we're doing here. And I think he is unfairly, far too often maligned by people for what he is not, and not appreciated for what he is, because he gets better every year. And is he their best, most tradable best asset other than the number three pick? And will they, where are they leaning with him? You see all this rumor with him.
I think their best trade asset beyond the number three pick guys is actually Larry Nance Jr. Larry Nance Jr. is on a very team-friendly contract. A lot of teams around the NBA really like him. He's the kind of guy that impacts winning. He would obviously be better on a playoff team than he would be here in Cleveland on a rebuilding team. So I would put him near the top of that list. I think Torian Prince's expiring contract could be valuable, especially as teams gear up for the 2020 free agency class, which is loaded with stars. It's one of the best in the last decade. And then probably Colin Sexton. The complication when it comes to Colin, guys, is any team that is going to trade for Colin, and teams are interested, there's no doubt about that. New Orleans makes a lot of sense. He's really close with Zion Williamson. He shares the same agent with Zion Williamson. David Griffin, former Cavs executive, is there in New Orleans. So they make a lot of sense because they need a player like that to take some of the scoring pressure off of Zion. The Miami Heat make a lot of sense. He's close with Jimmy Butler. The New York Knicks, obviously, they need a player like that because many of their guards are headed towards free agency. So teams are interested. But the complication is any team that trades for Colin Sexton has to give up assets in order to get him, and has to be willing to pay him a massive contract. His agent is going to want the max. I don't know if Colin is going to get that, the rookie scale max, which isn't the true max. So we're talking in the neighborhood of $28 to $33 million a year for Colin Sexton. And that's tough for any team to want to go that direction. It's tough for the Cavs to be okay with going that direction financially. We're at a point, finally, where you have to put a monetary value on the things that Colin does. And because of that, you're going to start nitpicking. You're going to start talking about his weaknesses a lot more. At the end of the day, the Cavs aren't in a rush to do anything when it comes to Colin. They're not going to be pressured into making a bad move just to make a move. But I think they want to explore the market, see what his value is outside of Cleveland. Does that align with how they view Colin? And if, and this is an if they can rejigger the roster and improve a different spot on the roster by using Colin and other things, then I think they would go that direction. I just don't think they're going to get an offer that they'll say yes to that is either going to be equal value or what they perceive as better value for Colin Sexton.
Chris, you mentioned that they'll be aggressive trying to get some veteran free agents maybe in there to help. What are some realistic names? I don't want the fan names, you know, where you just swing for this, just aim for the moon here, you know, and try to get these big guys that are going to come up to Cleveland. What are some realistic names that maybe you expect to see in a Cavs uniform?
Yeah, that's a good point, James and Bo. It's the same thing. Like, obviously, elite scorers are in demand in the NBA, and that's part of the reason why teams are going to be interested in Colin, and it's part of the reason why the Cavs just aren't going to give him away. So because of that, like, elite scorers and wings are going to be outside of the Cavs' price range. All they can offer this offseason is the mid-level exception, which is going to start around $10 million. It's going to be a competitive market, but it allows them to at least get a rotational piece. Somebody that could either be a starter or a backup, depending on what the Cavs need. So the names that you're looking at in that realm, guys, Doug McDermott, they don't have a sniper like him to play that position, even though he's a defensive liability. He gives this team an offensive punch that it desperately needs. Otto Porter Jr., if you kind of want to try and revive his career, if you feel like there's still something out there, He plays a very important position, the 3/4. He can knock down outside shots. Two names that are at the top of their wish list, TJ McConnell of the Indiana Pacers to be another playmaker and creator to take some pressure off of Darius and Colin if Colin is back. And Alex Caruso is also on their list as well. They need those types of players. Those are the ones that really come to mind that I think are in the Cavs' price range, and they could try and lure them away.
Chris, I'll get you out of here on this one. They're picking third in the draft, which is, you know, lottery luck. A lot of people felt it was a three-player draft at the high. It's a good draft, really good draft, good deep draft, but there were three elite players at the top of it. Will they take, and this is always tricky when it comes to roster building, will they take best player regardless in their mind, or will they worry about fit? And I ask that because they have two small guards already. Who are ball dominant guys. Like, you know, when I look at Jalen Suggs and I think, boy, I loved him at Gonzaga, but I don't know if that makes sense. What do you think they'll do?
Yeah, so I think fit comes into play. It has to come into play because they're finally in a position where they have said that it's time to take a step forward. I think everybody inside the organization, guys, acknowledges that it's time to start winning some games. It's time to start taking that particular step in this process. So I think fit comes into play as an essential tiebreaker. If they have guys that they view in the same prism from a talent perspective, then I think they'll start having that conversation more about fit. And because of that, I think it would be really, really difficult. As much as I like him, as much as people inside the organization like him, I think it would be hard for them to justify Jalen Suggs. Because if you want to maximize Darius and you want to maximize Jalen Suggs, having them play together is not the way to do that. So I think he's probably at the lower end of possibilities at number three. I think it's really the easiest way to say it is I think they take the player that Houston doesn't take at number two. If Houston takes Green at two, then I think the Cavs take Mobley. If Houston takes Mobley at two, then I think the Cavs take Green. And I think Green to them would be different enough from Darius Garland and Colin Sexton because he's more of a catch-and-shoot guy and because he has enough size and length maybe to play the 2/3 as opposed to the 1/2, which is the case with Darius and Colin.
You're the best, buddy. Appreciate your time.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
All right, that's our good buddy Chris Fedor, Cleveland.com on the Cavs and the NBA and the big questions that are ahead for them, and they are many. And it does bring up the question, can you do it again? Can that be done again? And I think it's really, really difficult in that league. We get to that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
If The Fan were a baseball team, Morning Juice would be our leadoff hitter. A leadoff hitter who's slow and hits lots of homers.
Weekdays starting at 6.
The Fan. Two legends, one show.
Well, it's all a lie.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
You know, it's interesting that Dan Gilbert's wealth went up like 600% in the last year with all the homes. He's worth like $50 billion now.
Is that all?
And, yeah. He owns most of downtown Detroit. You know, he's from there, and he owns most of downtown Detroit. So, from that standpoint, and he has proven that he will do whatever is necessary. Like, he was above the luxury tax and was willing to do so. With the Cavaliers when LeBron came back and was willing to write those checks and delivered a championship. I think it is a tricky thing in terms of them in the future in this respect. Can that market sustain three professional sports teams in terms of tickets? People going and buying season tickets and loges and all of those things. It's hard. It's hard here. And we have more corporate money than Cleveland does.
Yeah.
It's hard
to
do that. Ask the Blue Jackets. It's tough. And I'm sure that's something that people, you know, out at Nationwide are considering when they think about, you know, this retooling, this rebuilding of the roster, restart of the roster, whatever they want to call it. They are going to go through. That's why there's pressure for them to make strides.
Yeah.
Because from a marketability standpoint, they've got these nice young players, but they get them at 19. You hope that they continue to evolve, but are they box office? Do they sell loges? Do they sell tickets? It's tough.
Right.
It's tough to say. And I think one thing that they were counting on is that casino bill passing and being ready to go. I think I think all the teams in all the pro sports teams are banking on that casino bill. And now we're talking about April for that thing at the earliest. So that is something that everyone was kind of thinking was going to be there. Look, they just renovated the Q. I think it's called Rocket Mortgage or something now.
Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse.
Nothing's going to happen to the Cavaliers. Dan Gilbert's got all the money in the world. But in terms of their spot in kind of the sports lexicon up there and in the state, because remember, when we were doing finals, when we first started this show, the LeBron was in the finals, and we were like third highest-rated NBA ratings was here. So we jumped on.
Yep.
So that's kind of what's at stake for them, and I do think it's at a critical time. They need to come out of this summer with somebody that they can say, hey, come buy this jersey.
Yeah. So what's hard for me, Bo, is that I've watched maybe a couple Cavs games, right? And I'll peek in every once in a while, scrolling through, nothing on, you'll watch. Because the rebuild process in the NBA with a sport that I don't passionately love is hard. But you'll see Colin Sexton highlights, or you'll read articles about how he, you know, has an unbelievable game. And as you said, he just keeps getting better. And so you drafted the kid. You've developed the kid.
Yep.
And then to hear that he's on the wide open on the trade block, it just leaves you scratching your head to where, like, if you trade him and then draft another one, another guard, younger, and then you're just like, well, how is this part of the build? And this is a layman, this is a very layman, you know, basketball.
That's why I asked what sucks.
Yes.
Right.
So you're kind of sitting there scratching your head like, so how are we moving in the... And I understand I have a very limited framework for that, because my idea of a draft is draft a kid in the first round, he's part of your franchise going forward, and if not, you missed. And so to think that they hit on Sexton and Garland, well, it means that those guys are part of your future. So then the idea of drafting, like, well, who's next? And it's just, it's hard to, if that happens where Sexton gets traded or dealt, it's just hard because you feel like you're just kind of like control alt delete, you know, replace one guy with another. And then have you really even grown in the build, or are you still in the
same location? This is what I would say. And the reason I asked him the question on fit versus best player or whatever is, you have to get a guy. You have to get a star.
Of course.
Yeah. Like Colin Sexton is a really nice player.
But he's not a star.
He's a nice player. He's real ball dominant, but he's a nice player. Darius Garland is a nice player. Mm-hmm. They're not stars.
Yeah.
Okoro is a nice player. He's not a star. Yeah. They're picking third in what most people think is a loaded draft.
Yeah.
They need to get a star. Now, I readily acknowledge that it's going to take a while. They're drafting 18, 19-year-olds.
Yeah.
So it might not be till they're 20, 21. You might have to wait 3 years for them to truly develop. But you saw in the first year with Trae Young, oh, okay, there's a little something here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
He was a kid, too, played 1 year at Oklahoma.
Yep.
You saw pretty quickly. That's what they got to do this summer. And there should be that Mobley kid, the 7-footer out of USC, that makes me nervous. I don't know about that. But we'll see. But that's what they got to do. They got to know about it.
Yeah.
And they got to hit it. They got to come out of this summer with somebody that, if you're a basketball fan in Ohio, I got to get that jersey.
Yeah.
I got to start paying attention to the Cavs again. Because my guess is our market has largely not since LeBron left.
Right.
Other than people who are from there.
Right.
So that's what they need to get back. Get back to where they were a little bit. You're not going to get back to LeBron. I'm not saying that. But get back to relevancy. And that's the task at hand. We hit Thing or Not a Thing up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the Doorknob Fart Game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Well-dressed, well-spoken, but never, ever a well-drink.
How about chaos?
Insanity. Absolute insanity.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
It's time for a little Thing or Not a Thing on a Friday. Hit it, Chops.
Bishop and Laurinaitis. Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Geico Insurance.
Here we go on a third Friday. Bucknuts contributor Jay Book with this. Marcus Freeman has now landed 10 out of Notre Dame's 18 recruits and is ranked number 2 class behind only Ohio State. Thing or not a thing?
Obviously, it's a thing.
My man,
it's
M.
all that matters.
Don't let him hear this. Don't let him know this.
Well, he's on vacation, I'm sure.
Don't let
he's probably one of those
this.
Four Seasons private jets vacations.
Do you follow him on the gram?
I do not. I follow him on Twitter.
I'm going to send you a post he did where he had his LBs over to his house, you know. And it was like, you know, like, hey, summer workouts are done. Having the guys over. I'm just going to send you a picture, okay?
Okay.
I did not think that, you know, South Bend had that kind of real estate. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, you knew it had to, because there's a lot of people in administration at Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That make a lot of money, so there has to be. I'm not familiar. I've never been to South Bend.
It's not actually South Bend. It's like, I think it's Granger, Indiana. If that's from, okay. Anyway, it's like northeast of it. And so yeah. I know that because I was like, hey, where do you live? We're booking a hotel for the USC game, you know, and so he told me where he lived. And he's like, he goes, you got to come over and celebrate after. And I go, well, buddy, celebrate. Are you guaranteeing a win over USC? Is that what you're?
Okay. It's a nice setup that he's got there.
Right?
Yeah, very nice. Yeah. I didn't know they had that either. He is the most, this is why he got to choose between LSU and Notre Dame.
Yep.
And I thought he should have gone to LSU because I understand that was a turbulent situation, but I think he would have recruited like this in the South, and I think he could have been the head coach at Florida in 2 years, or maybe even LSU. They may have just.
I wonder if he wants to be the head coach at Notre Dame. That's what I wonder.
Well, maybe he does, and maybe that's the other part of it is he can do this here.
Yeah.
But I knew he'd have this impact. I know he's one of your best friends. I covered him. He was he's incredibly charismatic.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is he is the biggest threat's too strong, but he is the biggest needle that Ohio State is going to have to deal with in the foreseeable future.
He'll be like
in terms of
a horsefly, just annoying. Every once in a while he'll sting you, and he'll be pissed off, and he'll try to kill it. But you know
he will, and he'll win a battle or two.
Yep,
Michigan won't, Penn State won't, but he will.
Jimmy Johnson on his Cowboys team's mindset, quote, our approach was, hey guys, we're going to kick their ass because we're better than they are.
Simple as that.
Thing or not a thing.
Yeah. I mean, you went with players.
Well, when you have the most talent.
Yeah.
I think that is one thing that gets slept on a little bit, and I don't know why it took it so long for him to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. If Jerry is, then he surely should have been, right?
Right.
Because where would Jerry be without him? You know, he's got 3 Super Bowls and Jimmy's fingerprints are on all of them. His ability as a general manager.
Yeah.
And to see the big picture, that's what separated him. He viewed pro football like college football. Like recruiting.
Yeah.
Like, give me the most possible assets.
Yeah.
And then I'll draft guys.
Yeah. Absolutely. Isn't it amazing that since Jerry got mad and basically fired him as coach and GM. Think about that. Like the success that Jerry had with the Cowboys was because of Jimmy's GM picking.
Correct.
Yep. And then you can him over pride. And anyway, but yeah.
Well, even the Super Bowl they won with Switzer, it was all the Jimmy guys.
Yeah.
You know, that did it.
Yep.
Quinn Ewers posted a picture of a recent workout alongside Patrick Mahomes and former Texas quarterback Sam Ehlinger. Thing or not a thing?
I saw that. Man.
Not a thing.
That's heady stuff. Heady stuff.
All these guys work out together,
high school kids.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, to get the invite is pretty cool, right?
Yeah, of course it's cool. Absolutely.
You know?
But this happens all the time.
To get the call to the bullpen?
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. But like, hey, why don't you come throw with Pat? Wait, what? A senior in high school.
I mean, Pat really just wants to actually, he's just worried about his Head and Shoulders commercial going to Quinn Ewers in that mop.
That's a great mop.
All right, 2 fun ones on a Friday. This headline from the New York Post, shark advocates call for rebranding violent attacks as interactions.
Oh my gosh.
Thing or not a
thing?
Stop.
I can't with people. Stop.
Did you, have you ever gone on one of like those, we went on, when we were in Marco and in March, you went on like a dolphin tour thing.
Yeah,
out with a captain guy on some sort of guided thing, and we got
to get to swim with Snowflake.
All this stuff. Kids had a good time. Yeah, kids had the time of their lives. Snowflake.
That's not Snowflake.
He was pretty defensive in the that basically Jaws wrecked it for sharks. That the amount of shark attacks, you're far more likely to get hit by lightning twice in the same day than you are to be attacked by a shark.
Yeah.
Because of Jaws.
Yeah, it ruined it for Dom
Tiberi.
They
just have had really bad,
yeah,
really bad agents. Sharks have had bad agents.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Jaws did them in.
They're still terrifying.
Yeah, but aren't you like 100% of the time like liable to get struck by lightning, whereas you're only in the ocean when you're in the ocean? So I feel like these stats sometimes get skewed.
That's true. Yeah.
Like a shark's not going to attack me today in my front yard.
No, but you're also not going to get hit by lightning because there's no lightning in the forecast.
That doesn't mean it can't happen. We've talked about this.
Oh, what about heat lightning? Yeah, what about little heat flares?
I don't know anything about that.
Where I am, lightning strikes. Last one. Thanks to photographer Ashley Green, who was covering a Worcester Red Sox game last night, for this information. She tweeted, "Oh no, we just had an attempted ballpark proposal with a hard no ending in the girl running away. Thing or not a thing?"
If you're going to ask that question, you best know the answer. Like, that's one where you need the answer to the test, especially publicly.
That would have been a hard no for Cersei if I asked her on a big screen.
Oh, my God. Oh, the no chance. Yeah, the blonde would have just...
But yeah, I want to see video. Video or different, or it didn't happen. Come on. There's no way you didn't pan to the
guy. It could have been a, you know, a plant. You know, for like a viral moment. Like, let's go act like this happened, but it really didn't.
Yeah.
I saw another tweet following up about it. It said, announced attendance tonight, 6,715. And they go, well, 6,714 after the proposal.
Oh, gosh.
That's great.
Yeah, you got to know the answer. We've all asked that question. You got to know the answer before you do it.
You got to know the answer no matter what, public or private. If there's any question mark, then why are you asking?
Yeah.
And it's really not that hard to float the idea. You know, you don't have to, obviously, because the proposal is the one, but like, talk about rings, talk about getting married, and you can kind of get the vibe.
That's right. Yeah, you know where you're at. I think anybody who doesn't is, you'd be kind of a moron to not know if you're going to get the right answer.
Oh, there's a lot of morons out there.
You said it, brother.
Like a Tommy Boy.
Final hour.
See, morons here. So we have
right.
Love Tommy Boy.
Your final hour, and then you're off off in a car.
I didn't even know. Of the program. I didn't even know. Yeah, I'm just ready to, I'm so comfortable here. Let's go. Let's keep this thing going.
Keep going.
What do you mean?
You can do the show with Rothman on Ice. Just keep going. Do six straight hours.
No, never mind.
Mark Emmert, boy, incredible. Incredible comments from him. Final hour. Tim May as well. Bishman Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
One is upside down on an inversion table. The other one's wearing a tank top without pants.
Ready for your workout?
Radio doesn't get any better than this.
You nasty.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Two guys who love to see it. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Just had that Cavs conversation with Chris Fedor, and you asked a question about Kevin Love. He's done with Team USA, spending 10 days in Vegas preparing for the Olympics. Kevin Love withdrawing, won't travel to Tokyo. He's returning to full form, the keeping out of most of last season. The Cavs are hoping, obviously, that it was a showcase for him, right?
Right, and yeah, of course.
Not.
Go out there, buddy. Ball out so we can deal ya.
With this from Brian Windhorst, with Jeremy Grant in quarantine, Devin Booker, Drew Holiday, and Chris Middleton in the finals, Team USA has six players right now.
I'm available.
Well, even with all the other guys, they were really tearing it up in these exhibition games.
Chops, how would you describe your game?
Well, with the injury right now, it's going to be really limited. But
when you were at your best, how would you best describe your game?
It's a post up player that can grab rebounds. That's about it.
You're a hustler.
Sure.
That's interesting.
I would not use
not
the
a
word,
shooter.
I would not use the word hustle in Chops.
Well, that's why I said that. That was interesting. I find
maybe
that
maybe at one point in time. Yeah.
Yeah. I find that pretty interesting that's the way that's going to go.
You weren't here on Monday when he, were you here on Monday? Tuesday.
Yeah.
I wasn't here Monday.
Yes.
Chops wasn't.
So you weren't here Tuesday to hear about Chops' bachelor party and that he damn near broke his foot. Chops, tell the story to Bo, and it's the most Chops response ever, so you'll enjoy it, but you have to hear it.
So we were out in Charlotte, and Friday, a week ago, this time last week, we were out on Lake Norman, north of the city. You go out to Lake Norman. We had this driver, real lake kid, clearly like grew up on the lake, and he was taking us around, and we pulled up to one of the sandbars at one of the points in the day, a little bit later in the day to set the scene for you. And I was up on the boat and about to get back in the water. And I kind of looked at the water and I was like, I could probably jump in. And my buddy, who's more experienced on the lake, he says, no, don't jump in. It's too shallow. You can't do it. And I said, I can do it. Famous last words, jump in, hit the side of my foot, soft sand, boom. Then it just swells up. I was okay. Yeah, and then, but I was okay pretty much the rest of Friday. Saturday morning, I woke up and I could barely walk, and I had to go to urgent care. We got the X-rays done though; only a sprain, so it's a sprained foot.
Sprained foot. Oh, so you're soft.
What do you mean?
I mean, Tom Brady.
Sprained foot.
Tom
like, Brady, you just played, Brady played a whole season without an MCL.
I still went out on Saturday night.
We're complaining. I feel like you're
That's
a little
a good
soft
point.
Here.
He said he still went out Saturday night. So he powered through.
Yeah.
He still performed. Okay. And then in his sport of going out and consuming beverages.
He still did that.
Yeah. I'm sure he was still elite.
All right. Very good. In honor of Chops, we're going to put him to work here. And we're going to take your fifth caller for a chance to win two tickets to WWE Clash of Champions. It's at Nationwide on September 26th. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Let's go fifth caller at 821-9710. We'll pick up the tickets for that one. Open Championship ongoing, and a beautiful day across the pond in England, as they are some really good scoring being done there. I don't know what I would do if I was running an NCAA. I don't even know if we can use NCAA anymore, because it seems like they just won out. If I were running
Boy,
a college,
does it. My goodness.
If you're running a college athletic department. Mm-hmm. If you're the head coach of the football program or the basketball program, the revenue generating, or frankly, even if you have somebody with a huge social media following in one of the non-revenue sports,
yeah,
I don't even know what rules you're playing by, and I don't think they do. I don't think they do. I don't think anybody knows. And Mark Emmert added to this, the man makes over $3 million a year, and he says the time is right to decentralize the NCAA.
Mm.
When you have an environment like that, it forces you to think more about what constraints should be put in place over on college athletes. And it should be the bare minimum. We need to be ready to say, yeah, you know, for field hockey is different than football. Wrestling is different than lacrosse. And not get so hung up on having everything be the same. Oh, you don't say. Oh, you don't say.
Fascinating. My goodness, can we get an archive of... Have you said this?
Man.
No, man. Wow.
Thank God they pay him all that for these type of declarations.
Yeah. I'm glad that he's really progressive. He's really thinking forward, getting ahead of it, you know? I think that's the important thing, is that he's ahead of the curve here, right? No?
They have fought for decades to prevent getting to this spot, and have said more times than I can count that if we're to this, than anyone could count, that if we were to get to the point of where we are, that it would be the end of the NCAA as we know it. Well, it's not. It's not the NCAA, the end of it. It's not the end of college sports. It is the end of the NCAA. And they've gotten to the point where they just said, well, look, it's very clear. There's no way for us to continue in this way. We can't win. So they have to pivot. From my vantage point, I don't know what they're pivoting to, though. I don't. The NCAA puts on tournaments for profit, especially the men's basketball, and they provide a guideline of rules for their member institutions to follow. If they're not going to put on, if they're not going to give a guideline for rules of which to follow, then all they're there for is to put on the men's basketball tournament?
Mm.
Because they're not putting on the rest of it without the basketball tournament, because the basketball tournament, which allows for Mark Emmert to make $3 million a year.
Right.
What are you doing? What are you there for?
I don't know why they're there. I think it is the end of the NCAA. I think they're acknowledging it. And it's just, for the longest time, they've been so hung up on the moronic idea, I should say, of field hockey is the same as football, and they all need,
yep.
Let alone the idea that Akron is the same as Ohio State.
Sure.
And it's just... I think you got to see conference. This makes me wonder if like the mega conferences are coming, because the NCAA has, there's no guideline. Like, why are you paying him $3 million a year anymore? Like, if you are everyone through the pandemic has reevaluated, right? Businesses, yeah. How many people I've spent a couple of days ago. I was talking to a business owner who was saying, you know, a lot of my people love coming into the building, you know, so we're kind of basically employees. We're letting them, if you want to, sure. If not, who cares? Because to be honest, production for my company has gone up because the time spent in the car, they're actually getting stuff done. And so I'm not making them come back. You know, if they want to, sure. Everyone's reevaluating how they're spending their money. I mean, our station moved buildings, right? That was planned anyway, but it moved buildings. Why pay rent for two when we have space over at one?
Right.
And so you have all this reevaluation going. Don't you think that the presidents and chancellors are going to look and say, well, why the hell are we paying them $3 million anymore? All he's doing is taking L's.
Yeah, that's where I would be with it. But obviously, they approve, the presidents approve of the job he's done because they've greenlit the raises.
Yes, but so I wonder if they regret the greenlit raise now.
I don't know.
After the Supreme Court
decision. He goes and faces the slings and arrows, and he takes it instead of them. And so they get to pass the buck towards him.
Paying $3 million to say, you know what, we should actually decentralize us and make sure that we're not as important. What?
I'll tell you what. What has to happen, and we'll get to that in a second. I did not think we would get here this quickly. Now, and I say that acknowledging that this has been really a decade and a half march toward this. It probably started with the NCAA video game.
Absolutely,
it was probably
did.
The first.
Yeah, absolutely did.
You know, it was, it was Ed O'Bannon and it was Sam Keller. Those guys started it, and that got the ball rolling. On wait a second, and I'll never forget when that dropped, and I remember I was doing the show with AR at the time, and I said, why is Ohio State selling Braxton Miller number 5 jerseys? Like, they should just sell, and this was coming off of all the number 2 jerseys, all the 33s, all those jerseys that were being sold. Just sell one in the year.
Yeah.
Like, don't make it more complicated. And then they started doing that, right? They started doing that, selling one in the year. Like, just get away from that with it's, you know, selling something that is very clearly a person. And selling a jersey that's very clearly for a specific player. And so now that's all you can get, right, is one in the number, unless you buy a custom, and then you can do it that way.
Right.
But this has been building for about 15 years. That has been a long kind of slog through the mud. But the last year, amidst a pandemic, this is warp speed.
Yeah.
We're to a point in the last year... where the NCAA was digging in as far as they can dig in, to where now we are going into the 2021 calendar sports year. The NCAA has essentially pushed their chips to the table and said, yeah, we're out. Best of luck to you.
On everything.
On
transfers,
everything.
On everything.
It's wide open.
It went from
no guidance.
We're in power. We're in control. Everyone fear us, to, you know what? Player empowerment. Go. Bye. We're out.
Yeah.
See ya. In the span of a summer.
Yeah. And so if you are running one of these athletic departments, are you making your own up as you go?
Yes.
And I think the answer is yeah.
Yeah.
You probably are.
So then you wonder, how willing, and it's both ways, how willing do you want to be to come to a common conference or Power 5 agreements on certain things? Do you want to have level playing fields? Do you not?
Man. Well, I think, and then you have to say to yourself, you're going to have to do this on the fly.
Yeah.
Because you are representing, I mean, you think all the way down to like NCAA Division III.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they all kind of operated, previously they all operated under the same rule book.
Mm-hmm.
So now you've taken the rule book out. The rule book's gone.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So how do you operate? And how do you, because you have to have rules. You can't have lawlessness. You have to have a standard. And it would be helpful if they were all the same. And what I would do if I was a university president is say, well, Emmert, what have you been doing the last year, you and your boys?
Do you think, Bo?
I mean, we're paying you to come up with guidelines. Give us some guidelines that we can follow. We'll vote on them.
That's too hard. I'm just trying to kick my feet up for my last few years and then drift off into retirement. I'm not trying to use my brain that tough. No way. I'm wondering, Bo, do you think the school will go back to selling jerseys and giving the players a cut? That's what I was just dawned on me. Do you think they sell a CJ Stroud
like the
jersey?
Numbers?
Yeah, and put Stroud in the back and give him a cut, or do you think the school's like, nah, we're not touching that stuff?
If I were them,
Their licensing, they're gonna take a massive percentage of it anyway. With their licensing,
they'll take a huge percentage of it, and they'll give him a little kick. Yeah, I would. If I were them, that's of course I would do that.
Yeah, I know you would do that. Do you think our school does it? I know.
I think Bama will do it. I think LSU will do it.
Yeah.
Oklahoma will do it.
Yep.
And I think you should do it.
Mm-hmm.
But no question. We will, you know, we are typically on these type of matters, we're more reactionary than we are proactive.
I will say we've been good though with the whole open door stuff. Like we were there. We weren't leading the charge in NIL. You know, the Georgia and was it California? The legislature,
Florida, California, Georgia.
Florida. Yep. They were leading the charge, so it wasn't like you know, Gene and our athletic department were out pushing for this. Now they weren't opposed to it, but it's different saying, "Hey, we're not opposed to it," versus saying we're pushing for it.
Right.
I mean, those are two different. They weren't championing the cause, but they weren't also openly against it or for. There's basically what's the rules? Oh, everyone's going this way. Okay, now here's what we're gonna do. Here's open doors for the players. Yada yada yada. But man, yeah, I wonder if we're getting closer to a giant mega conference with this.
That's what I want to get into next, because I think that is what has to happen next. And I think it has to happen just as fast as this whole thing unraveled. Something else has to be built, because you can't play multiple seasons with that loss. You can't have that. So I think something's going to have to be built pretty quickly. We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
On air, online, on the app. New methods of consumption, same great radio taste. Take us with you everywhere. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Open early for all your sports discussion needs. Now back to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And 10TV and The Fan, along with Columbus Metro Parks, present the return of the outdoor adventure tomorrow at High Banks Metro Park. 10 to 4. Free event for the entire family featuring games, water slides, a zip line, and so much more. Check out 10TV.com for all of the details on that. So, you know, we've hinted at this. I remember having a conversation with Gordon Gee a decade ago about super conferences. I think if you are Gene Smith and his ilk, people in the positions he in, athletic director at Big State U, you got to get a handle on this now.
Yeah.
And you got to call the AD at Texas and the AD at LSU and Oklahoma. If you want to do it through the conferences, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Use conference commissioners. I'd rather not. But if you have to, that's fine. But you have got to get the like-minded institutions on the same page.
Mm.
You cannot have a situation where Ohio State says no to something, LSU says yes, and then we got to change our rules. That can't happen.
It's already happened.
I know, but it can't anymore.
I know.
You have to.
We haven't changed our rules, but you know that is going to be a.
You can't be bothered if you're Ryan Day, if you're Chris Holtman, if you're Gene Smith. You can't be bothered with, hey, we're recruiting little Stevie here. He's a Buckeye commit, but Bama's going to let him do this, and right now it's against our policy. What do you want to do? Change the policy. You can't be in that situation.
Yeah.
Right? You can't be. So the way around that is you get everybody on the same page who has who's like-minded.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's a lot of them. There's probably there's the five power conferences. If you want to add in Cincinnati and Houston and SMU and Boise State, I mean, there's probably, in terms of a for-profit, you're probably talking about the Power Five. Is it the AAC? Is that what Cincinnati's in?
Yeah.
Whatever's left of the Mountain West, Boise and those schools out there. And that's about it. In terms,
but there's
of
even
profit.
Teams in the AAC where you're like...
You're not.
Tulsa, right? Tulane. I know Memphis is good. But yeah,
I don't know if they're financially good, though.
I know. If we were flirting with the red, and I know there's different ways to cook the books and all that, but if we were flirting in the red through COVID, you have to imagine that a lot of others were in different situations, you know, in the same thing.
I always go back to Clemson drop track and field.
Right. Yeah. Things have been going pretty good at Clemson lately.
Yeah. And they said, you know what? We're going to continue to put all... They just... Venables through 2030 at 2.5 a year.
Yeah.
So... You know, that's where the bread is buttered, is in football. But you have to have same rules.
Mm-hmm.
You have to. You can't be doing what we've had to do in the last couple of weeks, adjusting our policy off reactionary.
Right.
To somebody else.
Right.
So, like,
so
the main
someone's
going
to have to do that. And if Emmert doesn't want to do it, someone else has to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are there any schools, I mean, I'm trying to think of any schools within the Power 5 that would, like, bow out? Schools that are in a Power 5 conference that would be like, I'm not sure.
Well, the ones that you would think of, you know, that for that would be, you know, like your Northwesterns, your Vanderbilts, your Duke, but Wake Forest. But I think all of those really like the money.
Right.
And Northwestern's good at football.
Yeah, they are.
Vanderbilt's really good at baseball.
Yeah. And you Kansas is really good at basketball, usually. You know?
It's
another football one where you're like,
Right. So there's not, I think if you're in a Power 5, you want all the money.
Yeah.
Even if you're not good, you want all the money.
Yeah.
So to me, get them all on the...
Do you see any of these schools being like, no, if you guys want to put limitations, we're just not going to agree on that. We're going to do our own. Like, what if LSU's just like, no, I don't want to come together with anybody to do
that point, thing. If that were... I can see that happening, and if that were the case, I would think at that point, that's when, like, Mike Slive, who's an actual power broker, the SEC commissioner, would say, well, you could choose to do that, but then you're not going to be in our league.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the one rebel program would be forced. You know, that would force their hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's probably...
I think schools love the money.
Think about it, it's a commission.
Look at Nebraska. Nebraska's like, we're going to leave. Big Ten was like, no, you're not. Look at this. You don't want this millions?
You're actually not.
Oh, never mind. You're right. Sorry if I offended you.
You're actually not going to leave.
Yeah.
You're going to stay right where you're at. And you're going to continue to make the money. And that's so to me, this is probably a conference commissioner conversation. And the Power 5 needs to get on the same page relatively quickly because you can't have a situation. I'm sure if you asked, especially with basketball, I mean, I just can't imagine what Holtman and his staff is trying to navigate.
Yeah.
You got name, image, and likeness, right?
Yep.
You've got free transfer. And you've got the end of one and done. And you really don't have any guidance on any of it.
Yeah.
On, okay, here's how you handle that. Here's what you do on that front.
Right.
There really isn't anything.
Man. It's just such a... Like, this is stuff that we talked about like a year ago to where like we would float these hypotheticals, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And have all these like, well, what if, gosh, can you imagine the chaos? Like, there's no way it'd be... And then here we are.
We're here now,
where it's just the open road. And so, I'm with you. I think that it's a... I just don't understand the point of the NCAA when it comes to football specifically. I understand they have the tournament in basketball, but there's still... I think it's more clear about the chaos and the wild westness of football, but basketball, it's a little bit more unknown. Because guys always had the option that if they didn't want to go to college and do it that way, that they could go to the league or they could go play pro and...
Yeah.
You know, overseas or microphone just fell on my chest here.
Yeah.
But,
bit pitchy.
The thing won't go, it won't stay anyway.
Well, we're up, we'll get a little break.
No, I'm just saying this thing is, you can tighten the knob all you want, but it's twists around in 360. So, you know, I don't know what Beamer does to this thing.
Well, he's watching the golf this morning. I'm sure he was fired up.
Double, both TVs.
Got them both rolling.
Ridiculous.
Does it look amazing over there?
It does. It looks incredible. I have to say, it looks incredible. But
yeah, it's wild. So we'll see. To me, there has to be some guardrails, and they have to be universal. And you got to get the like-minded schools. The Power 5 has to lead the way on what that's going to look like. You can't be in a situation where you're adjusting rules on the fly every day. That can't happen.
Yeah.
That's just not tenable.
Yeah.
And no one wants to live that way. So you got to get that thing sorted out. We'll ask Tim May about that, and we'll have a little chat with him coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Telling it like it is, even if that makes you uncomfortable. Common Man and Tebow.
Weekdays from 3 to 6.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Meet or on the rocks. Just act accordingly.
Starts with a glass of bourbon, then goes to, First Blood's on. I think I'll watch this again.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Friday edition of the program. Time to head out of that Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline for a visit with our good buddy Tim Bay of Letterman Row and, frankly, everywhere. You have races this summer. You play a little golf. You got all sorts. You're living your best life, buddy, and you deserve it so much.
He's the busiest retired man in the world.
He is.
I
I definitely am. I have to admit that, except for occasionally being called on to be an expert. But, hey, you know, about now it's like, you know, so I'm an august member of the media. I like that august part of it.
I like you using that phrase is what I like. Let me ask you this. You've been around big-time college athletics for much of your professional career and continue to be with your work with Letterman Rowan here at The Fan. This name, image, and likeness thing, Mark Emmert's comments yesterday, time to decentralize the NCAA. It's as if they've pushed the chips to the middle of the table and said, best of luck, boys. And my hunch is it's left coaches in a tough spot because they're trying to make decisions without any guidance of what rules could be and rules that could change. Do you think that this is sustainable, or do the Power Five need to get together and come up with some set of guidelines?
Well, you know, if you've ever been to a kid's birthday party when the pinata is hanging up there and and kids are stepping up and they're swatting at it and they're missing. I even had a kid from down the road almost hit one of my sons in the head one time because we had them blindfolded, you know what I mean? And so it was getting out of hand, but there were rules to it. But when the pinata opened, it was like everybody for themselves, you know, scrambling for the candies and goodies inside. And it's almost like the NCAA has, you know, kind of realized, you know, you can't put this genie back in the bottle now, you know. And so should it be, how do you police this now? You know, I mean, even the guidelines that Ohio State has set forward for its student athletes when they pursue NIL activities, you know, all the restrictions they put on it. But things will be on a case-by-case basis. You can't, you know, for example, you can't have conflicts with something that Ohio State has a standing contract with someone like a Nike. You know, you can't have conflicts with that in terms of team activities. And team activities is a pretty broad spectrum the way they define it. But how do you finally police that? I mean, you know, what's really amazing is it. In some respects, it reminds me of when, you know, one and done in the basketball realm. You know, I think you play each year, and I think Ryan Day has embraced this to a certain extent. You play each year based on who you've got, you know, and where they're sitting at the moment, and you let next year kind of take care of itself. Because I mean, you know, I was on the Feinbaum show last week, and I was saying, you know, I think the transfer portal situation, where you can just leave, you know, make one move with no penalties, et cetera, not even any real judgment on it, and move from one school to the next, I think that's going to have as much of an impact on college athletics and especially football as you've seen. I think, you know, some people think the rich are going to get richer in that regard. I'm not sure about that. I think when people get there and they see a log jam, you know, the easiest way out is to go find a place where there isn't a log jam, you know. And that's not at Ohio State or Alabama or the big-time power. So I think these two things both coming into fruition this year are going to have profound impact on major college athletics, especially major college football going forward.
Tim, what do you think about Ohio State's guidance, as they put it, or their guidelines for the NIL stuff? Because they mentioned the fees of renting out, you know, one of their facilities. Their trademark stuff applies. Obviously, the stuff with Coke and Nike. Every single deal has to go through them. Bo and I have talked over and over, like, the reason why we think there needs to be some kind of centralized, agreement on this is because down at LSU, they're like, oh, you can use our facility. No fee. It's fine. You know, like, no restrictions. Mm-hmm. It feels like you can't have that. Do you think, I'll put it this way to you, do you think this really is going to be an issue as far as the competition? Will it really sway an 18-year-old kid to say, man, I want to go to LSU or Penn State? They don't have restrictions like this, like Ohio State. Or at the end of the day, does that 18-year-old say, you know what, I can still get some good deals, even though there's some restrictions, but I want to win a national championship. I'm going to Ohio State. Which way do you think this goes?
I think both of those forces could come into effect. But, you know, this is what's interesting, James, is at best now you may be somewhere for 6 years. You know, if you're really damn good, you're going to be somewhere 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And all of your, you know, a lot of your planning and focus and future plans are going to weigh on whether
you know, you have to, whether you get charged a rental fee for using the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, what does it go for, like $4,000, $4,500 a day, you know, or whatever it is, you know, probably an eight-hour period. But, I mean, you know, is that really going to weigh on whether you decide to go there or LSU or Iowa State or somewhere? I don't really see that being as big a factor as some people do in all kinds of ways, because where are you literally going to get the most bang for your brand? It's going to be at a place that's playing for all the marbles or in competition to play for all the marbles. That's what I truly believe. And I think that's going to still hold sway. And I think after things settle down, you know, like Luke Fedlam, I had him on, local attorney, really expert on this kind of stuff. You know, there's going to be a chaos for a year or two. And by chaos, I mean, it could be a building thing, not just everybody all for themselves. I mean, you know, if you notice the, you know, Seven Banks and Julian Fleming, I just retweeted that they're part of a autograph signing at Tuttle Mall tomorrow. I mean, was it tomorrow? I think it is the 17th. And for $25 a piece, you know, you can sign up to get an autograph from them. So my point is, it hasn't exactly been guys getting big time bucks right off the bat in this thing. But, and that would be the only way you could afford to pay for a place like the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. But I think what's going on with Ohio State, for example, is they're just trying to hang on to what they've got, you know, and in the name, image, and likeness realm. And, you know, I'm just curious about the how things are going to go when that gets challenged, you know, from a legal standpoint, right on, you know, from what you can and cannot use, being part of a team, et cetera, and what kind of controls, you know, the schools will ultimately have on you.
Well, right now it seems like nobody wants to say they control anything because everybody wants to be viewed as player friendly. But you have to have guidelines. There have to be something, and I would think that you'd want them to be uniform, because the last thing you want to do if you're Ryan Day is a scenario that we've talked about before on the show. Hey, you know, let's use Quinn Ewers. You know, we got Quinn Ewers committed. Well, at Texas, they're going to let him use anything he wants in the facility to promote his brand for his name, image, and likeness. And I think the bigger one where this would come would be perhaps the Manning kid, because he's someone who could, that name could make that kind of money. You don't want to be bothered with this stuff. You want everybody to operate under the same rules. So to me, it would behoove Gene Smith and people of his ilk to get together with the other like-minded people who are running athletic departments and say, hey, let's write a bylaw here of how we're going to do this, and let's all just follow it so we're not bothered by this every day. Don't you think that this potentially, or do you, I won't say don't you think, do you think this could be a precursor to super conferences?
Yeah, but I mean, even there though, you know, Bo, I keep telling everybody when that comes up, even there you got to have rules. You know what I mean?
That's
there's
my point.
Be rules here, like the NFL. I mean, there are things you can and cannot do, and be in the NFL. You know, there are things you can and cannot promote. You know, I mean, the NFL has its rules. Ohio State has its rules in that regard. But then it comes down to the argument. Well, wait a minute. If you use the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, aren't you promoting Ohio State, you know, as you promote your brand? You know, so what does Ohio State owe you for you promoting them, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, there are all these kind of ways you can look at it, but I don't think, I mean, for Quinn Ewers and guys like that, I'm not sure that whether he gets to use, you know, the indoor facility at Texas to promote his brand or have to pay a fee to use the Woody Hayes Lexington. I think that's going to be negligible at best in terms of where, you know, these guys end up playing football. And there are a lot
it's
of other
the attitude, though,
great
right?
Scenic. Yeah. But here's the thing. Are you famous because you're Quinn Ewers and you're going to Ohio State? Or are you famous because you're going to Ohio State and you're Quinn Ewers, you know, the egg chicken kind of situation? And obviously players that play at Ohio State and Alabama, but especially Ohio State, have a much higher profile than playing at Ohio University and stuff. So,
well, sure, but you know, that's not what it's going to come down to. It's going to come down to Texas and Ohio State, which are like institutions. That's where you want to have the universal rules. That's where you can't be changing rules every day.
I agree with that. I agree to a certain extent with that, but, you know, what makes them different is the fact that you do have different ways of looking at things.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. Oh, appreciate your time, buddy. Have a great weekend. Talk to you soon.
By the way, if you get a speeding ticket for going 55 in a 55 zone, and then they change the speed limit there 10 years later to 70 miles an hour, does that mean you get your speeding ticket money back?
Nope.
You won't get it
I
back.
See what you did.
You know what I'm asking there, right?
Yeah. But I always thought it was stupid to. What I did think was always stupid, though, was when they get rid of records. The games were played.
Yeah.
Oh, but yeah. You want to fire people? Fire people. The idea of getting rid of games that were played is nonsense.
Yeah. I think Ohio State beat Michigan in 2010, that's for sure. But, you know.
Yeah. And I think the Fab Five played for the national championship twice.
Exactly. Exactly. You know? Don't tell me something didn't happen when I watched it happen. Exactly.
Right. Exactly. All right. Appreciate you, buddy.
See you, fellas.
All right, that's our buddy Tim May of Letterman Row.
You know,
right here.
The crazy thing, yeah. You hear $25 a signing, or right, for those guys, for Julian and company, and you think, oh, well, that's not too much. The thing is, when you negotiate those deals, usually you have a guaranteed minimum of things you'll sign. So that if only 10 people show up, you know what? I don't care. I've already signed hundreds of things back here so that I get a certain number of grand to even show up. I hope they got that same deal, you know? You got to have people representing you. So if you just do per signing and only 15 people show up, you're like, oh, well, stinks for you. You hope that you say, well, no, I'm going to sign X amount of pieces to guarantee that I get X amount of cash, no matter who shows up.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, guidance. You got to have some guidance.
Here it is, baby. Good for them, though.
There it is. All right, three things on a Friday. Bishop and Laurinaitis, right here at the Fan.
Head to 971thefan.com to listen on demand and subscribe to all our podcasts. Wasting time has never been easier. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Their favorite sport is berating their producer.
You just sat there for 10 minutes.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, time for three things on a Friday. Hit it, chopper.
One. One, two.
Three things with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
Number one for me, watching the British Open, I become envious, and I understand that there's no majors in Ohio for the foreseeable future. There's nothing in the cards, and we have too good a golf. There's too good a golf in the state not to have it. And I watch this thing, and I'm thinking to myself, they can build Arcadia Bluffs in Michigan. They can build Whistling Straits in Wisconsin. Why do we not have a course on Lake Erie somewhere?
Mm.
Why has that not been done?
Yeah.
Like, build a championship course up there somewhere, probably ideally near Sandusky, so you could tie it into the tourism. Let's go.
Mm.
Get this done.
Yeah.
This is too simple. We have water. We've got rain. We've got wind. Let's go.
Yeah, what else do you need? What else do you need? So my first thing, I'm going to give you two stories and then an explanation for my third thing. So my first story is Hayden yesterday after being picked up. Shelly told me this morning. She goes, I pick her up immediately from camp crying. I'm just so hungry. I'm so hungry. Okay, honey, I got you beep beep bop in the car. I don't want beep beep bop. Okay, yeah. Hayden, that's fine. Well, you can have something else at home and I'll save beep beep bop for a daddy or something. But I want beep beep bop. She's like, which one is it? What do you want? And she goes, I just want it and I don't want it. How do you parent that?
Well, my hunch on that as a veteran parent is not enough sleep. That's my hunch.
But she does.
That seems like a I'm tired.
Or
that
she
seems
does.
Like a Bootsy Beamsy, I didn't sleep enough last night.
The kid sleeps 13 hours.
Oh, that's a lot of sleep.
Yeah.
I don't know that.
Too much sleep.
Maybe
too much.
Let me just throw a pillow at her to wake her up. That'll really start the day off great.
My first thing, big house weekend. It's the first weekend that we like don't have anything. You know, there was the holiday. I was on the bachelor party. The one weekend was the move. There was a bridal shower on a Saturday that we had to drive down to Mason to. This weekend we can really, you know, sink our teeth in and get some things done. We're targeting the master bedroom. We still got to strip away the last bits of the adhesive of the wallpaper. Then we can start painting.
Oh, it's going to be a nice little weekend. Maybe you hit Home Depot.
Yeah, Bed Bath & Beyond.
Time.
I don't know.
Don't know if there will be time. Number two for me, I highly recommend, if you have kids, this is my favorite reality show to watch with them. It's Lego Masters. Apparently it's on Fox.
Oh, yes.
But it's on, we watch it on, I think on Hulu. It's awesome.
Yes.
It's awesome. I can't believe how talented these people are. I can't believe what they can do, what they can build. It blows my mind.
It's
and
incredible.
It actually inspires the little dudes to get out the Legos and go build. So it's kind of dual.
Yeah.
There's a dual purpose there that I think is pretty dang good.
It's fun until you've built Cinderella's castle four times and the glue doesn't work, you know? So anyway, my second thing, this morning, you know, their little Omega tablets come in a little foil
package. So Hayden takes hers, leaves it on the floor. So I go, London, as she's brushing her teeth at the sink, will you pick that up and put it in the trash, please? No, it's not mine. It's Hayden's. Okay, thanks. Hayden, come over here, pick it up. I don't want to. Walks over, picks it up, and throws it. And I go, Hayden, you could have just put it in the trash. And she goes and sits down. She goes, I don't want to. I'm tired. I want to go hold Remy. I'm like, well, no, if you're tired, you can't walk over there and hold Remy. And then all of a sudden, she goes, fine. She gets up to go walk over and pick it up. And as soon as she bends over, London spits out her toothpaste, bends over, picks it up, puts it in the trash. And now they're both crying.
What are we doing? It's a legendary troll. It's a legendary troll out of London, though.
That's going to be a great car ride coming up for you. My second one, a little teaser here. There may be a new nerd association coming out soon, hosted by people other than Daniel and me.
Ooh.
Keep your eyes out for that. You guys won't get this, but the hint would be it's like a variant of the show. That's all I'll say.
Jeez. Yeah, you're right. I wouldn't. Number three for me. So this is the last, the three games left in the NBA Finals. This will be the last NBA Finals played with Spalding as the basketball.
Oh. And
it is moving to Wilson, Ohio-based Wilson.
Wilson
will now supply the basketball. That's exactly right. Will now supply the basketballs. This brings me great joy. I've always thought the Spalding balls stunk. Wilson balls are superior in every way. The Wilson Jet was the first great basketball I ever had when I was a kid. And I hope that, and I can't see this being anything other than great. I love seeing it happen to an Ohio company like Wilson.
Absolutely. My last thing, I tell you those two stories to just think of me in your thoughts and your well wishes as I drive for 12 hours and 30 minutes over the next 2 days with those children, because these are the battles I will have over snacks. That's why they're each getting their own iPad. That's why.
You have to.
We're not fighting. We're not fighting. They will fight. But anyway, just think about me as you are enjoying your weekend, the next 12 and a half hours of my life.
Should have just net jetted it. My last thing, question for you guys, when and how do you meet your neighbors? We've lived there for like 3-4 weeks now. I've had one conversation with one neighbor. I've never even seen the people on the other side. I've waved to some people when walking the dog. Maybe we're not outside enough. I don't know what's going on. I don't know any of my neighbors yet. I want to say I'm Chops.
I don't know how you do it. That's what I would do. You took the words out of my mouth.
Random
I don't know how Chops. You do it, but you just knock on the door and you say, I'm Chops. That's what you do. That's exactly
what I'll do this weekend with any downtime.
Yeah. I'm Chops, just to everything. And I think you ought to do that to J-Lo, too. Every time she... Listen, I'm Chops, anytime she questions you. Have a great weekend, my friend. Have a safe drive up to the motherland. We are back next week. Rothman and Ice up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.